This is PFW in Progress.
Retirement, actually.
Retirement? What are you, a hockey player? You took an oath. No retirement from this.
PFW in Progress with Paul Perillo.
Well, that's Nori's favorite. Special Eat Hotel. Tell us where you want to stop.
Keep it coming.
Paul Perillo.
I don't know about you, but ever since we found this place, I catch myself fantasizing about it.
Me too. Sometimes doing sex.
Paul Perillo.
I keep this up, I'm going to be calling an honor.
You should have called your sponsor before you bought that jacket.
Look at this guy. Members only? How long you been wearing that?
Paul Perillo.
I caught a parasite over there. Actually, that's why I'm here. I've been dying for a Satriali's veal palm hero.
Paul Perillo.
F*** him. I hope that parasite eats his ass.
Paul Perillo.
Funny? You're going to smack in a mouth?
Quiet! I'm serious.
Do what your cousin Philly is hiding.
I told you he was a...
Paul Perillo.
Honey. Oh, menu.
Paul Perillo.
He just f***ed Artie. I can recite that menu in my sleep.
Paul Perillo.
Sorry, everything's so f***ing morbid. There's a man lying dead over there.
Paul Perillo.
Oh, my God. This eel is delicious.
Okay, Spanish Mecca now.
Make another sake, huh?
And you never know. Lori might stop by.
I thought maybe we drive up there.
Is that new?
Oh, the car. Yes. Yes, Porsche Cayenne. Like the pepper.
PFW in Progress.
You know what? You want to get something done, you got to do it yourself.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. It's 12 o'clock on Wednesday. That means it is the gang from Patriots Football Weekly. Fred Kirsch. Andy Hart's not here, though. He's on vacation.
Good.
He is on vacation.
Where'd he go?
I don't know.
Mowing his lawn.
Tom Casale, Paul Perillo,
a lot of vacation
Gary Gradecki,
coming up for the PFW boys next few weeks.
And joining us for the first time, Eric Scalavino,
yep.
Who was
right
been
now,
with us for a while.
Food order.
Been with us for a
and
while.
We should, you know, we should mention to the fans that he's kind of one of them uppity douchebags.
Well, we'll
you know,
see.
He's,
we'll get him. We'll indoctrinate him into the ballpark world.
Jefferson is byline, Fred. It says like Patriots.com, PFW staff writer. I mean, is he going to add PFW in Progress co-host? It's like his resume.
Well, I don't know. But
his byline is longer than some of my stories.
Eric's been actually here for a while. He's been the producer and editor of Patriots Today when Lori Baranski was doing it. Did some changes. We realized that Eric's actually a better writer than any of us.
Well, there's no question about that.
So we figured.
Just ask him.
Just yeah, he'll let you know that.
So we figured that he might as well do that for Patriots.com and Patriots Football Weekly, which he's doing. So
and let's add in. We won't give the details or anything, but we'll add in that in his month and a half that he's been doing his writing. He already found a way to get himself in trouble with the organization.
Right.
We'll leave it at that.
But that's good.
But so that's good. He's one of us. He, you know, popped the cherry, so to speak.
So Eric Scalavino, everyone say hello to him.
Good thing Andy's not here.
The email address.
You know, I thought about it before I said it, and then I said, Andy's not here. I can get away with it. You know, Andy, the guy who anything else is on limits, that, for whatever reason, that phrase really bothers Andy.
Okay, the first thing I want to say, being here on the show, why do we not have food? Why did my first job on the show have to be to order food for everybody? Every week we come back, I hear you guys, oh, the fans sent us food.
We've had a run of about 13 of the last 15 weeks, I'd say, we've had food. I think that
the fact that
Andy's not here, I think that says
well, historically,
Andy whines about it more than anybody.
Historically, this is a real, real tough time. We're going to talk about this, but this is a tough time of the year for football.
Gary, stop
fans.
Playing that freaking song.
What's
right
that?
Am I the only one that likes that song?
Yeah, is that my wedding? It's on my wedding list.
I hate that song. I hate guys
like
that sound like girls. I just
I don't
like
care.
It.
You're not my audience at my wedding, Fred. You'll be in bed by the time this.
I love you, Jay.
I'm not your audience at the wedding.
Nah, you'll be sleeping by 9:30. You don't got what it takes anymore.
At the wedding?
Is this where like? Is this the part where, like, you know, your tuxedo's all torn to shreds, and you're up there like the singer at Old School?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the part.
I could see Tom, like, halfway through the reception, he takes off the tux, you know, it's like a tearaway, and he has, like, fatigues
right,
on
right.
or something underneath.
There's no fountain.
Or a cowboy's uniform.
Is there a fountain?
There is a fountain.
You're going to end up in it, I guarantee
it. Did you hire the Dan Band for your wedding, by the way, the one he was referring to?
I don't hire bands. That's the dumbest thing in the history
band.
Of the world.
That'd be right up your alley. The Dan Band, the guys from Old School who swear during all their songs.
Oh,
they're actually a real band.
That was so funny.
Either go DJ or you don't have a wedding.
Oh, come on, the Dan Band? You got dropping F-bombs every other
time? I would agree with you, Tom, but, you know, if I do that, then the fans are just going to make fun of me for sucking up to you.
Tom, are you going to do all that, the, you know, the garter belt, the cutting of the cake?
That.
Don't do all that.
We have to do the cutting of the cake.
Why?
But it's going to be 2 seconds. Okay. It's just going to be us cutting the cake.
But you got to cut the cake.
Don't
want everybody to eat.
Don't do the electric slide.
No, it's all
that
crap is gone.
Oh, trust me.
I like the slide.
Oh,
that's not
God.
A wedding. That's not a wedding tradition.
It is.
Is she going to shove the cake in your face?
No, I'll probably shove it in Fred's face or something.
Shove it somewhere else.
I'm hoping Andy will jump right into the cake like he said he would. Now, that would be fun.
As long as he doesn't jump out of the cake.
If it's vanilla, he'll eat the whole thing.
Is this going to be like craziness?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Non-stop craziness.
Why? Because of you or your relatives?
Because
or
of
us?
Me.
Because of you?
Yeah.
Okay, Rem Dog.
I pictured you more as subdued around your relatives. Like, just get away from me. I don't want to talk to you. Leave me alone.
That's how he is around us.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
How I am normally. But
right.
This is like a big event type thing.
So in front of them, you're going to act like a nut?
Oh, yeah.
Going to let your hair down.
They wouldn't
a little
expect
bit.
Anything else.
Okay.
Anything different.
Jeez, I better warn my wife.
Yeah, you got a couple of weeks.
Lock up the women and children.
Yeah, okay.
There is going to be no children.
No children.
None invited.
There's no children there?
I will not allow any children at my wedding.
Okay. What do you consider children? Teenage or below?
But Andy.
Young kids.
Yeah, what about Andy?
Yeah, he's the only one.
You're letting Stewie go.
All right, webradio@patriots.com. We have a lot of emails to get to. Guys, like I was saying, this is a tough time of the year for an NFL fan because once that mini camp is over and up into training camp, it's really dead.
That's right around the corner.
I know, but things, well, it's not until July 27th, really.
It'll be here before you know it.
Guys will be here a little bit before that, but as far as the fans go, open access to training camp starts on July 27th.
Well, these are the dark days.
So it's a good solid month of, you know, in the bunker.
Yeah.
So it's
very slow time.
It's up to us to keep the excitement going throughout this month.
That's why I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're going to Italy,
yeah,
right?
Getting out of here.
Where are you going in Italy?
See, where are we not going?
He's not
that's
one
the question.
Are you going all over the
We're
place?
Going all over the place.
Going to Italy.
But you know what I like? Fred goes through this long introduction about how it's going to be us that's going to have to keep the excitement.
Yeah,
and the
I'm not
going to
be here.
Eric goes, I'm going to Italy, Fred. Well, where are you going? Whereabouts?
I'm just curious.
I agree.
Don't talk
funny.
To me about my business, Paul.
I'll let you ask just this one time.
Just take care of something over there, and then he'll be
I hope they take care of him.
No.
Stop trying to bait me, Paul. You know my problem.
All right.
What do you with the school paper?
Well, Patriots news, obviously, the Asante paper. Samuel situation has not changed.
Yeah, the biggest news on that is there's no news.
Right, which isn't good. What else? Ben Watson's going to China at the end of this month.
That is correct. You're a little involved in that, aren't you?
I'm a lot involved with that. I'm overseeing the whole thing, but I'm not going. Don't worry.
So you can't destroy another trip?
No. I'm not going to China, but...
Fred, don't let anybody give you any grief over that. That's the most valuable contribution you've made to this organization.
Yeah.
Besides hiring me.
I was sent there on a mission, and I accomplished it.
Good work.
So, but yeah, Ben Watson's going to China. We'll have video of that up on the site afterwards, so that'll be interesting. You can look at that during July before training camp starts.
No
what
disrespect.
Else?
Interesting little tidbit yesterday. Lawrence Maroney filming one of his filming a commercial for Reebok.
Yeah.
Was doing some stuff. And
now, Reebok must have sent out a press release because there were press there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't know about it.
Not surprisingly, PFW wasn't included.
None of us knew.
But that's, you know, neither here nor there. Evidently, he talked to, you know, pretty encouragingly about, you know, this, you know, his health and doesn't think that anything is going to be lingering into training camp or anything like that. Has no reservations about being the number one guy. Seems very excited about it. Said all the right things.
He was doing a lot of. Apparently, he was doing squats.
Yeah,
with the bar,
but
over
with not real,
the,
not
yeah,
real
fake
weight.
Yeah.
Weights. It was fake weight. It was foam-filled weights.
Mm-hmm.
No. Speaking of sort of mini camp news, our friend Michael Felger had one of his Patriots insider reports the other day, and basically came out and said that Randy Moss admitted he wasn't going full speed, and that's just the way it is with Randy Moss.
Yeah, and I
reaction.
I thought that the premise of his story I thought was a little bit misinterpreted around here. Not surprisingly, with all the Belichick files, such as yourself, Fred, you know, rushing to his defense. Mike's point was it's mini camp. It's not, you know, it's not the regular season or anything. But if you're looking to see Randy Moss be the dynamic Randy Moss, don't watch him practice. Doesn't mean that he's not going to be that Randy Moss come game time or that he doesn't have the ability to turn it on, but just don't watch him practice because based on that, it was a lot of the stuff that we'd heard about.
Right.
I fall somewhere in the middle of those two camps. Obviously, everybody around talk radio was like scoffing all over the story and how can you take this seriously? It's only mini camp. Well, the last 6 years we've been led to believe that these sorts of exercises like mini camp, and Tom and I were talking about this, were pretty important. You know, this is why the Patriots are the Patriots, because the off-season team building stuff. And, you know, I saw Wes Welker out there flying around. I saw Tom Brady flying around. I saw Junior Seau, an 18-year veteran, taking one of those drills ridiculously seriously at the end. If we make a stop on this play, I think he said at one point, we win.
Right. So,
if it was important enough for an 18-year Hall of Fame-bound linebacker to take it seriously, I think it should be important enough
Bill
for a wide
receiver. Well, as Bill Belichick says, those mini camps are for teaching, more for teaching and less for evaluation.
Yes, right? But if you're
but
the people who say,
people
first of all, I think Moss was all right in practice. I think that's being overblown. I think he makes everything look rather easily. I mean, was he running as fast as he could during sprints? Probably not. But the whole thing about, well, it's just mini camp, the people who are defending him,
that's
well,
the
then
part.
You're going against guys like Bruschi, guys like Welker,
Harrison,
guys like Caldwell, who are putting forth maximum effort. So when we write something like Welker's looking really good, he's really hustling out there, and all the fans are like, wow, that's great to hear. Well, it's only minicamp.
No one says it's only minicamp when it's a positive thing.
I will criticize him if in the game he doesn't put out
100%. No, but that's not my point.
Well,
what I'll say is
I'll go back to this and say, okay, you know, I'm not going to excuse his actions in a practice. Because he's not.
But now you were one of the people, and I don't. And correct me if I'm wrong here, who were complaining about Corey Dillon all year. Is that correct? About him coming out after a play. You weren't. Okay,
absolutely.
You were. So now, when in minicamp, in training camp, when we were sitting there, and I was wondering why he was running.
We all made fun of him.
Well, if you know,
that's right.
Bad practice habits.
Well, for some guys, that's true. Okay. There are other guys like a Kevin McHale, for example. You know, who Larry Bird would always criticize, never really gave it his all.
You're right.
There are some guys who are game day
players. Game day, you know,
there are some guys who are practice.
If he dogs it in a game, I'm right with you saying go back to minicamp. That's who he is.
But I just think that's a dangerous way to look at it.
I agree.
I think Tom actually said it a lot better than I did, because the point isn't necessarily what you thought of how Randy Moss practiced, because I kind of agree with Tom. There were some things that I was impressed with Moss, and there was others that I was a little surprised to see him not going full bore. He does make things look ridiculously easy. He's a very gifted athlete. He just has that glide to his stride that most of the other guys out there don't have. My only point is I'm not just gonna excuse what I perceive to be any sort of lack of effort because of the time of year. Because I just don't think it's a smart thing to just say, well, if he does that in the regular season, we don't excuse that for anybody else. Why do we excuse it for a guy who has a history of this?
No, I would have excused it for Corey Dillon if he performed during the season.
But why is it, to me, I look at the barometer being guys that have been here, Tom Brady.
I mean, again, there's certain guys that it's all out all the time.
I'm not saying that you need to be all out all the time. I'm saying everybody else appears to be trying.
That are all out all the time?
You said some guys. Who are the rest of the Patriots that you know of in the Harrison, Vrabel mold that take it easy during practice?
Well,
I'd like to hear that.
I just think that when you see Seau and Welker running around, everybody doesn't run around like that.
No,
if they did, it would look like, oh my god, like Dervish is out there.
Well, see, this is,
you know, it would be 80 guys running
so
around.
So your stance is that you're more against those people than the Moss.
No, I'm not. I'm not against any of them.
that would be
they
good.
All have their own style.
All right. Well, I'm just trying to get the facts
straight.
I'm just trying to make it a little bit balanced.
No, I kind of agree with Fred. I mean, what matters most to me is what do they do on Sunday?
And when you're 30 years old, what you do on Sunday starts in May and June.
Because
he's not 22-year-old Randy Moss anymore. He doesn't wake up. Trust me, I'm old. I know what it's like to be 23 and I'll be.
He's in his 20s. He's talking about I'm old.
Now
he's 35. What are you talking about?
But that's the thing. He's had trouble with his legs. He's had trouble with conditioning things. People have said, you think he'd want to come out and work on that. Not just for the media's sake, for his own sake.
Well, but has his problem been conditioning, or
well,
just
he admitted in a Sports Illustrated column that I don't think has appeared yet that I read this morning. Peter King was talking to him, and he wasn't happy with his conditioning after some of the May OTAs, and he decided to stay to do some more aerobic work to try to work on that conditioning. Again, that's why I'm not sitting here up in arms that I didn't see him flying around the field. I don't need him to be like Wes Welker, Fred, and doing
right.
and doing all that stuff.
I don't need that.
But I'm also not going to sit here and close my eyes to it and say, well, as long as he doesn't do it in the regular season.
I think when
you don't do it at any time with a uniform
right,
on,
right.
it becomes very easy
Absolutely.
To not do it any other time
well, I think
with
we
a
all
uniform
keep,
on.
We all keep this in the back of our mind.
Right.
We file
Fred,
it away.
What's the whole deal with him stretching by himself? The whole team stretches
you know,
and he stretches by himself?
Unfortunately, I was Fred so busy, I didn't have a chance to get out there.
Well, I'm telling
you. Tell
you,
me.
He was off stretching on his own. The team was lined up.
Maybe he had gas.
Everybody
and they asked
him to.
But see, that's
well, but
not...
Tom, if you remember, he did start off that way, but then after a few minutes, all the wide receivers started congregating around him.
Not all of them.
Well,
Caldwell did. Him and Caldwell have become friends. I don't know if
Stallworth.
That's a good thing based on what we know from past.
I saw Gaffney. I saw at least four receivers around him stretching, kind of goofing around like they do during stretching.
Yeah, and he started going off on his own, and then they followed him. Everyone else was in a line.
Clearly, I think we're just making too much about practice.
Well,
clearly PFW was bought into this because two covers in a row,
right.
I think unprecedented,
practice?
We had
we're
the same person
practice,
on the cover.
Man.
All right, yeah. But here's the thing. If we're making too much about this...
That was clearly the story of minicamp, though.
If we're making too much about this, then when Teddy Bruschi is doing all this stuff in training camp, in practice, when other people are going half speed and he's hurting people because he's running over them and the fans are cheering in the fan section, I don't want to hear about it then.
Let me ask
I want
you
to say, what's Teddy Bruschi doing? It's just practice. That's what I want to hear.
Not a game.
There's a difference.
Do we make too much of Rodney Harrison belting Troy Brown in training camp?
No, we thought that's Rodney going crazy.
Right.
There's a difference between
what Randy Moss has done in the past has not always played at 100%.
Okay.
That's why I have a little concern
here. Do we criticize Asante Samuel because he doesn't do what Rodney Harrison does? No. Asante Samuel
When have I ever seen Asante
way?
Samuel not put out?
But he doesn't do it like Rodney does. Or like he doesn't go, you know, he's but not when, hitting guys going over the middle.
But you're comparing there's two categories.
I think all practice hard, virtually all of them. Everyone I've
right.
seen here.
That's my point. You think that there's well, guys that
Ray
play hard.
Did.
Yeah, and so does Tom Brady. You ever hear of him?
Tom Brady gets days off.
All right, Lawrence Maroney was
Who
out
doesn't?
Of practice.
All the veterans get days off.
Lawrence
That's what
Maroney
I'm saying.
Was at
so,
practice
I mean, you know,
the third day of minicamp. That was his only day out at practice.
Second and third. He didn't participate at all in minicamp.
But he's
well,
injured.
He had an injury.
He was injured.
But he was out on the field on one of those days.
The second
okay?
and third day, yes.
Right. Was he going full bore?
He wasn't doing anything.
Exactly. That's my point.
But he wasn't healthy enough to do anything.
But maybe, like
you
were saying.
He was throwing the ball with his left hand.
But like you were saying before, Moss knew earlier this year that he wasn't at the level that he wanted to be at, and he stayed to work on it a little bit. So maybe during minicamp,
that's what
he
said.
Well, yeah, that's what he said. Okay, but you were quoting what he said earlier,
right.
And so
to me, that's great.
So conditioning,
I'll take that.
So conditioning
from
is
Randy
a problem.
Moss. I'll take that from.
See,
Randy
this
Moss.
Is what I'm talking about. If these same reports were coming out of the Jets camp that had,
they'd be laughing. Everybody
Moss,
would be, Freddie would be laughing.
Look, he's already causing problems in Hempstead. He's already got conditioning issues. He's already not going 100%. But because he's in a Patriots uniform, everything is hunky-dory.
And keep in mind, Paul and I are not in the Felger camp.
We love this move.
We also thought Moss didn't look as bad in practice as Felger's making it out
hunky-dory.
To be.
Hunky-dory!
Like I said and Paul said, he makes everything look so easy. I think sometimes it looks like he's dogging it when he's really not. So we're not in the camp that, oh, he wasn't trying at all in practice. We're just saying if he's not, don't cover it up by just saying, well, it's minicamp. Because for everyone else, they were practicing pretty hard and
right.
doing what they could.
I know
Dante Stallworth didn't have any problems.
Had nothing to do with the sports, Hernery.
I just want to touch on something that you guys said before. If a guy is not at the optimum level of conditioning that he thinks he should be at, the best way to get injured is to go 100% all the time at that at whatever level you're lifting, running, whatever. You're going to get hurt if you're not at 100% conditioning. The best way to do that is to gradually
what does he
work
do
your
for
way
a living?
Up to it.
What does he do for
yeah,
a living?
Why
matter. Is he not at 100% conditioning?
Well,
what does he do for a living?
Tom, you can't argue with that. I mean, these guys are paid athletes.
I'm sick and tired of hearing about these guys
they
not
should
being
always
in condition.
But let's just say that he had a new start from the time that he came and became a Patriot, all right? And
yep.
Let's see what happens from this point on.
I'm all with you on that. I'm fine.
I think we're all on.
Yeah.
I'm not trashing Randy Moss. I'm just saying, oh, it's just minicamp.
That's why I started off by saying I'm somewhere in between the two camps. Felger wrote a story that I thought was a little bit overly critical of the whole situation.
Give me
whereas
a break.
And he's always going to be overly
whereas
critical.
Whereas most of the reaction locally here, especially on talk radio, has been ridiculously the other way. Why are we even concerned about this? It's minicamp. Well, these minicamps were pretty important the last 6 years when the Patriots were building Super Bowl caliber teams. All of a sudden, now that we have a guy who doesn't try all the time, it's not important.
In these other minicamps, we haven't scrutinized them like we are.
So training camp's more important, Fred?
We didn't have 60 media at the other minicamps.
So training camp's more important than minicamp?
As far as what?
Like trying and putting forth effort.
Yes.
Okay. So when
for veteran.
Hey, Gary. Any way you can get last year's PFW in progress from around August when we were talking about Corey Dillon and Fred said, and I quote, "It's just training camp. Who cares? Let's see what he does during the season." Hell, he lasted about a play or two every
year. We saw a lot of the same stuff in the regular season.
I will say that about any established veteran.
Okay.
I just want to clarify.
I will say that about any established.
But you don't
veteran.
Think there's a difference between a guy with his reputation?
Yeah, trying to show his teammates and his coaches and himself.
Look, I think for Randy Moss being here is a step in the right direction. I mean,
I don't think he's going to cause any problems. I'm just saying
he was required to be here. It was a mandatory minicamp.
Well, he was, but he said he was here since May.
He was here for 2 weeks longer than he needed to be.
Fine.
I just want to clarify. My argument is not that it was minicamp. And therefore, he wasn't going at full speed. My argument is there are some guys who just don't practice that way.
I agree.
I've been around a lot of football in my years. And
yes,
there are guys.
For those of you that don't know, Eric was a kicker. Eric was a kicker. It was at BU
at the Division I AA level.
Eric was a kicker, so he knows his football.
I do. What can I say? Out of anyone here, who's played college football?
Andy.
He's not here.
And where did he play college football?
Yeah, but he was a running back.
Tufts.
His running back in Division III is more impressive than you being a kicker.
Oh, please.
My son will be a kicker at Division I AA. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. You just got to teach them from when they're seven on, and they'll be fine.
Oh, really?
Yes. So you are having a son.
Well, I mean, if I had one.
Oh, okay.
What's that?
I don't know. This is the Tom Brady music.
What? Oh, the lonesome. Oh, jeez.
The lonesome.
All right.
Trashing Randy Moss.
No, not at all. Just like I said, I'm somewhere in between those two lines.
We're actually, like Eric, you and me and Paul, we're actually talking more about the coverage of it and how some people go one way and some people go the other way.
Well, I think with a guy like Felger, when you write a column called Patriots Insider, you kind of paint yourself in a corner that every time you come out with your column, it's got to have some.
But let's be honest.
That no one else
Felger's
has.
Worried about the Mike Felger show. That's his
right.
main
He's writing
thing.
For that. But I thought that Peter King's story, and this will be in this week's Sports Illustrated,
Peter sent you an advance copy.
No, Peter doesn't.
And I
but
know
when his, whoever the PR people are with Sports Illustrated,
he had a proofread, Fred.
Anything that's Patriots related, I get sent to,
really?
To Andy and I. Yes.
Why
beforehand.
Is that?
I don't know. But we got it. I sent it to Tom today. He read it. I thought that Mike Felger's story and Peter King's story that will be in Sports Illustrated were equally laughable. And one of them was on one direct opposite of the other.
How right. dumb is Peter?
I thought they were equally laughable.
For Peter King, I think he's just trying to keep good relations because he knows the Patriots are going to be the big story this year, and he wants all that inside information. Where Felger, he's barely here. He doesn't care. He just wants his radio show and people calling in.
He wants to be controversial. Yes. That's what Mike's doing.
And each of them have an agenda.
Fine.
Peter King has an agenda, and Mike Felger has an agenda.
Okay.
We have no agenda.
We don't have.
I don't. I don't
Fred,
get paid any money.
I'm surprised
money
that you haven't offered your thoughts on the Soprano ending. That
I don't want to talk about
so
that.
Much.
What?
I don't want to talk about that.
Why not?
Because you want me to say
Tom
the F word
that.
On the air?
Well,
I asked Tom about that yesterday in the office, and he started.
Tom was livid about it, but he hasn't stopped talking about it since.
But Tom and I, Tom and I were both upset about it. Predictably,
stop playing that, Gary. It's stupid.
and we both came to the conclusion that we were going to get here yesterday. And get in an argument with Fred, who we thought for sure would love that artistic.
What's the gabagoo? She's like, there's no gabagoo. He's like, there's no f***ing gabagoo.
The aesthetic value of the way
David Chase
was just so much ahead of us. And, you know, he was writing over our heads for 7 years, and we still didn't get it.
Yeah, because you got to be a genius to be a television writer. It's such a hard gig.
No, I think that overall, I just don't think it was a good ending.
Or episode.
And I'm not saying,
the whole episode.
My problem was the episode more than the ending.
I don't think everything has to be tied with a nice pretty bow.
And I didn't need a bloodbath, that's the other buzz line that all the intellectual critics say. Everybody wanted a bloodbath.
You know, not really knowing what's going to happen, you know, whether he's going to get indicted or what all that stuff. But I just think that you know, give me something
how
to chew
some,
on.
How about
the
some
end.
Intrigue? It's supposed to be
yeah,
a drama.
Exactly.
How about some intrigue in
to
the
me,
episode?
To me, that's good writing. Good writing is not a bloodbath, like Paul said. It's intrigue. It's keeping you on the edge of your seat.
Now,
it doesn't
I will
have
say,
to have violence.
Everybody had this big problem with the way it ended. I thought the way the whole last scene was shot was tremendously dramatic. I mean, every single guy they showed, you thought could be the guy
right.
that was going to take him out. That's why I say I didn't have as much of a problem with the end as I did the episode
itself. Has anyone actually gone back and looked at that scene over again?
Yeah,
don't
read,
care.
I've read a
There's
couple
no more
of
episodes.
Because
they were all people that were in previous episodes.
Right.
Wow.
Is
phenomenal.
That true?
That's fascinating.
That's the word on the net. I don't know if it's true or not.
Fascinating. Wow. I can't wait till next year's. Oh, wait. There is no next year. Let's stop talking about the show. You watch something that's on now, we'll talk about that.
I mean, I'll give you an
talk
example.
About that stupid
well, David
show
Chase said, I guess
he should be killed.
He was interviewed recently. He said he has no interest in explaining that, elaborating on it, defending
and what
it.
What word did you use, Fred?
What?
Coward.
I thought it was
it's
coward.
Coward. That's
coward.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah.
He's such a genius, he doesn't need to explain
it
himself.
Sounds, it sounds
meanwhile,
like
80% of the people who saw the show thought that it stunk.
It sounds to me like they're leaving the door open for a movie.
Oh, well, that.
A yeah. movie with no characters. They're all dead.
But the other part, I mean, if the rest of the episode gripped you the way the end did, I wouldn't have nearly as much of a problem with the way it ended.
Right.
But, you know, for example, in the one I keep, you know, talking to Tom about, was there anything more predictable than when Phil got whacked?
Yeah.
There was no drama to that at
all. Saw that coming a mile away.
And what do? They come out with some, you know, over-the-top slapstick humor and have his head get run over by the car. That's not the show.
That's not the way the show
terrible was.
Writing.
I thought that was an awful scene. I thought in order to have any realism for that, Fred, don't you think that Tony had to be involved in that?
At least sitting in a car while Paulie shot
him. Maybe Paulie does the actual deed of whacking Phil, but Tony's got to be there. They had some guy that we didn't even know. Walden?
Especially after
that?
They screwed it up the first time.
I didn't mind that.
But they screwed it up the first time, Fred.
That's my
they
money,
screwed up
right,
Phil
right.
the
they,
first
they,
time.
The first hit
they
on
would
on
never
Phil
take a
bad.
Chance like that, ever.
Tony would have taken that into his own hands.
I didn't mind that.
Of course, if the show was actually still about the mob like it was during the first three seasons, maybe you would know that. Go watch the first three seasons on DVD, then come back and talk to me about how great the freaking show is.
What did you think about the cat and Paul?
I don't care about the cat. Irrelevant. Boring. Stupid. Move on.
Who'd you think the cat was?
I thought it was Chris.
Could care less.
You know?
Could have been Christopher.
No intrigue whatsoever. None. Let's talk about football. People don't come on here to listen to us talk about a terrible TV show.
No, I
first
agree.
First of all, you're not in charge today.
For some reason,
Fred's got the ship.
On Monday,
Costco's got the caboose.
And it's sinking.
For some reason, on Monday on sports radio, it dominated. It was talked about on ESPN.com.
Well, I don't care about ESPN.
It's guy stuff.
People come here to talk about the Patriots to hear about football, not this crap.
And vacuum cleaners.
They don't need to come
if
here to find
stop,
out the Sopranos sucked.
If you don't stop with your shameless sucking up to Patriots fans, I'm really going to have to do something about this.
What? They probably enjoy this garbage. I don't care about them. I don't want to hear
this
about
whole
it anymore.
Over the top. People come here to listen to the talk about the Patriots.
Well, why don't you guys
well, we
email
almost
in?
Never
right.
do that.
Right. And that's your high horse.
And that's why
right.
no one listens to this show.
Right.
If I was running this show, I bet you the viewership would double.
No,
no, one,
you know,
double.
But no one listens, but we get our food for us every week.
Not every week.
Right.
Let me remind
you're
you. You
obviously the jinx of that.
Yeah,
that's what
right.
happens when you put a
people
two,
want football.
Two-bit, one-double-A kicker on the show. When you
wasn't
lose
Fred
food.
The guy who just said that we're the only bridge people have to football?
Where are you going in Italy?
We got plenty of time. Don't worry about it. Web radio.
I'm going to Florida, Fred.
When?
First week of July.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Web radio at Patriots.com.
You
going to Disney?
Yeah.
With the kids?
Yeah.
No, he's leaving them home.
I would advise not.
Why?
Too young.
Well, Will is fine there. Will had a great time in February.
Yeah?
When he went. Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously,
four or five times a year, Paul?
I got a house down there, guy.
He's got a house?
You got a thing?
Wow. My parents have a house down there.
See, I wouldn't bring my kids until they're like 8 or 9.
Well, if I had to, you know.
I wouldn't bring them at all. I hate theme parks.
So I don't like Disney World.
No.
Have you ever been to Disney
yes.
World?
Yes.
You don't know
don't
what
like
you're
it.
Talking
that's
about.
Why
I fit
like
the bill
it.
Every
I
time.
I love it. I wouldn't bring them because I wouldn't leave the house.
I love Disney World.
I can't stand it.
I just like going down, hanging out, yeah. having my own house. It's the greatest
if
thing.
If you're going to go to Florida, why would you go in the middle of the state?
Why would you go to Florida?
Why would you go in July?
Well, at least go to the beach. At least go to Miami or Delray or Fort Lauderdale.
I've been many times.
I don't know. Just the theme park thing.
We go to Miami
so...
every. We go to Miami. Every
Disney
year.
World is not just a theme park.
Yeah,
yeah. Come
it
on.
You're lucky Andy's not here. He thinks Florida's the worst state in the
worst
union.
Worst state in the union.
Well, Andy's an idiot, though.
All right.
It's kind of swaying me a little bit, though,
second
every time
only,
we go down there.
Second only to Ireland being the worst country in the universe.
All right, let's get to some emails, shall we?
That's Andy Hart, by
the
way.
It's going to be about football?
Those, those views do not represent Paul Perillo or PFW in Progress.
David is a writer, and he's from Falcon Country, so I'm assuming he's
Georgia,
somewhere around Atlanta or somewhere.
Great.
Says, give Randy
Very
Moss a chance to start anew. I saw and listened to his interview with the media in which one of you blew his exchange with Don Banks way out of proportion. First, someone yelled, two last questions, guys, with the final question coming from Banks, who essentially jabbed at Moss about his past of becoming a Patriot. Then, one of you states on your program that Randy Moss started a fight with Don Banks and took a swing at him.
What a bunch of douchebags.
You recanted the took a swing inaccuracy, but you did not recant the starting the fight with Don Banks inaccuracy. Moss did not start a fight with Banks. He simply said all the questions were good and he wants to come with this one. Y'all take it easy, and walked away. First, it was the last of the two remaining questions, and secondly, Moss left with himself and the media in laughing at his comment about the question. At least Banks tried to bait Moss.
What is this guy's question?
I don't know. Gary, can we have an IQ test for people who listen to this show?
Please,
is there any way we can do that?
First of all, no one on this show suggested that Randy Moss took a swing at Don Banks.
No, ever. And nor did he start a fight. I said he gave him a dirty look.
Which is accurate.
Because Banks wrote in his thing that he looked at him and laughed. That's not true. Banks lied about that. I was standing right next to him.
And I was standing right next
to him. He turned back and gave him a dirty look. That's what happened. No one ever said he took a swing or started a fight.
It was also not a baiting question. It was really the only legitimate question that he was
asked. And the person who said two last questions, that was Stacey James, the director of media relations.
Yeah.
It wasn't someone yelling out, you know, it wasn't A-Rod.
Please be responsible journalists if this is what you call yourselves. While you may dislike someone, please do not use the power of the airwaves to misstate facts. This is why people hate the media who act like a bunch of female escorts always trying to boink someone. This
now,
is why
Tom, you were next to Don Banks, right?
Yes, I was.
Apparently, David in Falcon Country has a better idea of the situation.
And this is why I hate you.
We're trying to misrepresent the facts. This is just why we hate you, David.
Yeah, this is why I hate you. Because you have not only you heard us, you listened to the show, and he still got it wrong. How stupid can you be? Look at that douchebag. He listened
to... You were here, Fred. No one suggested that he took a swing at Randy Moss.
Well, I think...
No, Andy said it.
But, I mean... was it to be at
all? As a goof when Fred walked in.
So if you listen to the show, anything out of Andy's mouth, you got to know.
But even in defense of Andy here, you walked in and he said something totally outrageous to you because you weren't out there. Oh, yeah, Randy Moss took a swing at Don Banks. Mm. Did you for a second think he was being serious?
No.
There was no fight at all. But there was clearly a dirty look and bad feelings, and the interview ended there because of that. And there's nothing baiting or leading about that question. It was a very legitimate question that Randy Moss didn't want any part of answering.
And the two
and
don't
it goes
like
back
each other.
To the fact that they don't like each other because Banks covered Randy Moss when the two were in Minnesota. That's where the whole, altercation, if you want to call that, but whatever kind of, bad blood that you want to say between Moss and Banks, that's where it emanated, was from their time together in Minnesota.
Okay.
In my opinion, some fans are so stupid they don't deserve to live.
Well, that's why he's from Georgia country.
Wow.
Wow.
Or Falcon country.
Hey, you're right back now, Dave.
Let's see. RJ in Vegas says, Tom was right. Fred read an email from me last week that was seriously close to 3 months old asking about Sidney Rice and whatever. Don't know how that showed up, but I have a question that is somewhat close to being timely this week. To preface... for an hour or two like Paul does for his comments. Just kidding, Paul.
No, he's not kidding.
That's good. I like that.
My Charger friend and I have a rivalry at work among a couple other people who hate the Pats. He claims to have the better team and the better shot for 2007 Super Bowl. For now, I can tell him he lost to us last year and may again this year when he talks crap, but he always brings up something that I don't have a retort for. He says that I should be concerned about what this season's spending will do for our future, partly because of Brady's restructuring his contract. He says he read that because of the way things are being handled now, the pushing aside what they're inevitably going to have to pay down the road, thus making things financially hard for themselves. What do you think? By the way, I crack up when Andy talks about Chad Brown with his legs up in the air, and Tom made me laugh about out loud with the hoping to cheat on his wife comment.
The
restructuring.
They're all cap friendly.
Yeah, the restructuring is not going to be anything in the future because what they did was he didn't get a pay cut or anything. They took money that he was due this year, and they gave it to him up front in the form of a bonus so they could spread it out over the cap, over the life.
Right, it actually helps them.
It helps the team down the road in the cap. But there might be, like, something tacked on at the end.
Right.
That at that, when that time comes, we'll probably get eliminated with another contract. But
the only two deals that, you know, will add up are Adalius Thomas and Wes Welker. But the increased cap allows that.
But even the Thomas deal was pretty cap friendly for the money he was commanding on the open market.
The Thomas deal was tremendous for the Patriots.
Right. Yeah. But it's not like it's not going to
cripple them.
It's not going to cripple
3 years
them, but
down the road.
It is a heavy cap.
But that's the only problem I have with, who's that, RJ, who wrote that in?
Yeah.
If your friend's a San Diego fan, all you say two words, Norv Turner. End of story.
Yeah.
And you know what? Don't worry about the future. Worry about this year. This year's all that matters. Don't worry about it.
San Diego.
Let Belichick and company worry about the future.
Yeah.
Enjoy where you're
at. I agree with Eric.
Enjoy where you're at right now. It's never going
to
get any better
than
this.
Well,
right. RJ's not making the argument. This is what they're telling RJ.
But he should just say Norv Turner is your head coach, then walk away.
Right.
That's the end of the argument.
That's all you need to say.
Right.
I think San Diego's going to be okay.
I think you're full of crap, and there's another $100 bet coming in the next few minutes.
Listen, I'm not here to tell you that I think Norv Turner is a great coach.
I agree that they're going to be okay.
But I think that people are dismissing them because of the, you know, they have Norv Turner as a coach. They're still a very talented football team.
I agree with you, Paul.
They have
a tough
schedule.
You know what I think? That's exactly what I think. I think as the year goes on, his lack of having a good program, he's such a, one of those nice guys, probably the nicest guy I've ever seen talk. You actually feel bad for him. But I think as the year goes on, I think they're going to start losing games as the year goes on, and that's going to hurt them when it comes playoff time.
It's going to be tough to lose games.
I don't think
with
they're
all that talent, though.
But they
even,
do
even
have, and I will say.
A lot of teams have. All teams are pretty close in this league. It's not.
Right, and that's why I think that if you set it up the way. And I think that they had something like. The first five games, I forget exactly the way it's structured, but I always think it's tougher for West Coast teams to come east than it is for East Coast teams to go west. And when it's set up like that, like we have to make all those trips next year in 2008. Mm-hmm. We have four trips, I think, to the West Coast. Is it San Diego, Oakland,
San Francisco,
and Seattle.
Seattle? Yeah.
You know, all in the same year. So
I can't wait for that.
I think those trips, I think, those are tough. And we look at that as a monster, you know, travel schedule, but I think it's a lot harder for the West to come east.
I think so, too. The thing about San Diego, and, you know, I'm not an expert on their depth chart, but, you know, how good a team will be down the road is really, you know, your front line. Obviously, they got a lot of talent, but what happens when a few guys get hurt? Do they have the depth? Do they, from 1 to 53?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know what they did, you know, up close in the offseason, but they had a ton of injuries last year. And people just missed it. They had a rookie left tackle step in and play for the start. People just think he won the job in training. No, their starter got hurt, and Marcus McNeil had to play the whole year, and he turned out to have a great rookie year. They had, what's the guy's name? Polk?
Yeah,
Polk. Carlos Polk came in that playoff game against the Patriots and played better than Phillips and Merriman were playing when he came in to replace them. So
they had
some guys come in and play. I don't know how well they did in keeping all that. You know, obviously the big one we know is Michael Turner's a pretty good backup running back.
Right.
You know, for LT. He's not LT, but no one else is either. Certainly if Phillip Rivers goes down.
Well, that's
the same
with every team.
The only thing I would say is last year they blew a lot of teams out. If they're in close games this year, I think that's maybe where the Norv Turner factor comes in. Because while he's a great offensive coordinator, at every stop he's been at, he hasn't shown the ability to be a head coach. And now he's
got
tons of pressure on him. This is one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl.
This is a good team that's ready-made to compete.
Yes.
And also, to add to the pressure, the stigma of it was the coaching that held them back.
Right.
So now you're asking him to, okay, now we got the guy in here.
Right.
Coaching was the problem.
Mm.
So now let's see what
happens. Andy always points out, it wasn't just the head coach. They've lost both coordinators and then the guys behind them. So you're really pretty much replacing an entire staff.
That's why I don't think they're going to do it this year.
I agree. I think it's more with the coaching, not the players.
Ben from Boxborough, just wanted to thank Kyle Passady for the 23 Patriots Now emails I received. I have no idea how that worked, but I realize why Kyle takes such a beating from you guys. I don't think that was Kyle's fault, but that's all right.
But I'm going to go with it was Kyle's fault.
Also, when do you guys start broadcasting 4 days a week again? Is it the start of the regular season or preseason? Thanks, and Tom, incredible job as always on the blog.
Well, thank you, sir.
Tom blogged during camp.
Oh, we have a great time blogging.
Yep.
We're all sitting around getting everything up there. Phenomenal.
Every third word that Tom has to type, he has to ask Eric how it's spelled.
That's okay. I don't mind.
I'm just double-checking. Usually I have the word spelled right. I like to be professional. It's the official website of the New England Patriots. I'm sure Eric knows. He's from Patriots.com.
Oh, we are the official website?
Well, everyone contributed that was out there to the blog.
Yes. It's actually pronounced.
And we will be doing that again during training camp, correct?
Yes. And they actually decided to have the slowest typer out of the bunch type everything up.
I was
going to
say, I think
everyone.
We're going to make Tom do it every day in training camp, too.
The guy who types with one finger and can't spell, you do the blog.
Tommy Two Fingers Casale is going to be doing the blog.
Well, you're not going to be at every practice, right?
No,
well,
obviously.
Pretty much at everyone.
Pretty much everyone.
Yeah. Well, the only one, you know, we try to make as many as we can.
Yeah.
Of course, the 8:45 is kind of conflict with my schedule, Fred.
Yeah. Hey, that's when you're getting up. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Webradio Shane in Miami says, how about this for a solution to the Samuel problem? In addition to him signing his one-year franchise tender, why not offer him game day bonuses for every game he is on the active roster and willing to play? For example, he can make $150,000 for each game. That times 16 is $2.4 million in possible bonuses. You could throw in a training camp bonus if he shows up on time and participates. Samuel gets a better reason to show up and play this year, and the Pats get another season to see if Samuel is as good as we think he is. Sure, the one-year cap hit is tough, but I'm sure something could be worked out. Paul, a few weeks ago in PFW, said that this last year was not a breakout year for Samuel, that he has improved every year. That is true, Paul. But he improved this year much more than previous seasons, and he did it in the last year of his rookie deal. Coincidentally, he wouldn't be the first pro athlete to have a great season, cash in on a big contract, and then play on cruise control for the next three seasons. Can he be a great corner on a consistent basis? Maybe. This kind of contract would help give Samuel the chance to prove it. I hope we all get the chance to find out.
No, I want to ask Paul a question, but first I'll just...
I don't think he can do that, though.
No, I was just going to say this. He's either playing...
Should we provide a car service for him, too, to take him to and, you know, to and fro?
Yeah, I know this is fun for the fans to do. Bottom line, he's either playing for the $7.79 million or he's sitting out. That's going to be it, in my opinion. But, Paul...
You can't up that cap number any more than $8 million.
No. In 2001, did Ty Law have a good year?
Yes.
Okay, he had 3 picks, 70 tackles, and 1 sack. So that goes to your point where these interceptions get blown way out of proportion. The guy had 3 interceptions, and people think he had a great year. So if he comes back and has 4 or 5 picks, it doesn't mean that he had a bad year.
Right. And let me say this, too. I didn't say that Samuel didn't have a breakout year. I said he's not a one-year wonder. I said he has been a good player who's steadily getting better with each year. I think he's making natural progression.
He didn't come out of nowhere.
He didn't, in my opinion, Fred, he didn't come out of nowhere. I agree. And that's the point I was trying to make. Obviously, he had a breakout year. It's 10 interceptions. He was a national story for the first time of his career last year. He got to the point where Peyton Manning, the most prolific passer in the NFL, refused to throw the ball to his side of the field in the second half of a game where he was putting up 30-whatever points. He refused to throw the ball anywhere near Asante Samuel.
So, Tom, you believe either he signs the franchise deal or he sits out. There's no bargaining.
Unless he can be traded for something big, which I don't think will happen. I don't think the Patriots are going to budge this time.
And the other
they're not going to Deion Branch it and say, if they can get a great offer, sure, but I don't think it's going to be good enough to move him.
Yeah, I think they might Deion Branch it if they can get the trade.
Right,
I agree with can we rule out one thing? It's not going to be with the Jets.
Yeah,
they're
forget
not going to be
that.
Making a trade with
no,
the Jets.
Jets aren't giving up 2 first rounders for Asante Samuel.
Don't you? I mean, you agree with that?
I agree with that.
I don't
that.
Think they're going to trade in the division. No.
But how much do you think it gets under Belichick's skin, though, when he reads in the Herald that the Jets are very interested in Samuel?
But that, I mean, it probably does. I agree with you. But don't you think that's smart on the Jets' part?
Oh, absolutely.
Because, I mean, I don't even think it's. You could argue that the Deion Branch thing might have been solely to tweak the Patriots. You know, maybe they didn't really need him, but they wanted to up the ante and cause more friction. But, Samuel, that's a player they certainly would welcome with open arms.
Yeah.
Right?
But to make it, I mean, a lot of teams would.
Right, you know, so why wouldn't the Jets be interested?
Make it, make sure that Belichick knows that.
Well, sure, it's all the head
puts
game.
Puts it out there.
And it worked.
That is Samuel's
it worked last
camp,
year.
Too. They need to make sure. Don't forget, the difference between Branch and Samuel is well within his rights to talk to every other
right.
team. As
right.
a franchise player, he can negotiate a deal and,
right,
with any
right.
other team, and then the Patriots would have to decide whether or not. Branch didn't have that right until deep into training camp when the Patriots gave him, might have been after training
yeah.
camp by
yeah,
the time they gave him permission.
And don't forget, Fred, as reported in the Boston Herald, after the Patriots coaches won the division, the first thing they were doing was saying stuff about Eric Mangini. So what the Jets are doing, maybe it's working a little bit, getting in their heads.
All right. Donaldo in Los Angeles says, hey, Tom, in response to your response from last week, if Rashay Caldwell was on the Bengals last year, would he have played? He would have played. Why? Because Kelly Washington was injured, as usual. Chris Henry was too busy getting arrested to play.
So he would have been the fourth receiver.
I was going to say, he wouldn't have played much.
Point is that talented guys who are tall, fast, and jump high do not always produce in the field or off the field, as in Henry's case. Can they get open and catch the ball? Two important attributes of a wideout. Caldwell so far has proven that he can.
1 year.
Washington, on your own admission, has not.
Didn't get open that much.
I honestly don't think that Belichick cares what Washington's vertical jump or 40 time is. He
didn't he say that Washington was the odd man out here?
Yeah, he didn't.
We said,
look, he
we
didn't
said
look
Caldwell looked great in minicamp and Washington didn't. So he's coming at us like we're defending Kelly Washington.
Well, Donaldo looks forward to seeing both Rashay Caldwell and Jabbar Gaffney make the final roster.
Wow.
Jabbar Gaffney before last year was a stiff. That's the bottom line.
In my opinion, I think there's very little chance of that happening.
I agree with you.
I think one of them could make
especially when you factor in Troy Brown.
I think there's a chance that both of those guys are gone. I think there's a better chance that both of those guys are gone than there is both of those guys being here.
Good one. All right, Gary, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Soccer fans, the 2007 CONCACAF Gold Cup is coming to New England this June. The best teams in North America, Central America, and the Caribbean will compete to bring home one of the most prized trophies in soccer. Tuesday, June 12th, the Gold Cup kicks off at Gillette Stadium with an opening round doubleheader featuring the U.S. national team against El Salvador, followed by Trinidad and Tobago and Guatemala. Plus, don't miss out on a soccer triple header on Saturday, June 16th, starting at 1 p.m. with quarterfinal matchups and the New England Revolution taking on their Eastern Conference rival, Columbus Crew.
Oh, he buried it from distance, Taylor Twellman!
Come watch soccer history in the making at Gillette Stadium and the U.S. national team's quest for the 2007 Gold Cup. For ticket information, call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS or visit Ticketmaster.com. CONCACAF would like to thank its official sponsors of the Gold Cup, McDonald's, Lowe's, Makita, Miller Lite, Puma, Sprint, and State Farm. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
The rush got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
He's got to be sacked for a safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Jamarcus Russell was the first pick. Detroit takes another wide receiver, and the Dolphins don't take Brady Quinn. If you're having trouble figuring out the NFL draft, PFW's Tom Casale has the answers.
I think both guys at 24 would be stealing. And they're not falling like rocks. That's all internet crap. There's no way Branch is going to be there at 24. None.
With the 33rd pick in the NFL draft, the Cardinals select Alan Branch, defensive tackle, Michigan.
Well, he was right about Corey Dillon and Lawrence Maroney, so let's talk running backs.
Round 3, Chris Henry, the running back of Arizona.
Listen, that we should talk about him. This guy stunk in college. He's an upright runner. Now all of a sudden he's got a nice physique. He goes and runs a fast 40, and everyone's thinking he's going to go in round 3. Forget about it. Round 5 at the earliest.
With their first selection in the second round, the Tennessee Titans select running back Chris Henry from Arizona.
So if your mock draft has scribbles all over it and you're convinced the guy in Miami misheard Quinn and wrote Ginn, you're not alone. And don't worry, there's always next year, and Tom Casale will be there to break it down.
At 15, I think that's where you make the move, because those teams should all be interested in it.
So if he's there at 15, you trade for him?
You got it.
What's the trade?
I don't know how to work out trades. I'm a scout. I'm not Pioli. His job is to take care of that kind of thing.
PFW in progress.
I just don't understand football, I guess.
All right. Tom doesn't understand football, but he knows Tecmo Bowl. You got to play at a higher level than that.
Jesus, Fred, there is no higher level. This was made in 1978.
So every game it's like 40-0. What fun is that?
It is when I'm playing Belichick's Cleveland Browns. I can't help it. They stink.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is email address. And wow, I just had one of those Buffalo.
They are a little hot.
My goodness. Usually, you know, they're hot, but they're not unmanageable. Man, that one was a hot one, and I like hot food. So
you gonna be all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. Paul,
you need more blue cheese?
I owe money to Paul because he just bought us Papagino's.
Thanks a lot, fans.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, fans.
I feel
that's right. The fans didn't help out this time.
So, Tom, I hear you got a job at ESPN.
Yeah, I'm gonna be starting August 1st.
He's more preoccupied with this damn game over here.
Well, I'm excited about my future at Baker Hobart.
The webmaster, Paul, brought in cake. And I just went over to get a piece, and the webmaster goes to me, what's the cake for? And very nonchalantly, I said, I got a job with ESPN. And he's just, oh, really? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I start August 1st. So I went back to my desk, and he goes, are you pulling my leg? And I'm like, no, I got a job with ESPN. I start August 1st. He's like, wow, that's great. He's like, congratulations. And he was going on and on. Then Paul blew it the next day by telling him it was a joke.
I didn't tell him it was a joke. He asked me and caught me off guard. I just started laughing.
Well, the reason he asked you that was because a few minutes, I wasn't privy to that conversation. A few minutes later, the person in the cube next to me turns around and the cake is at his desk and he's digging into it. So I'm like, Donnie, what's the cake for? Whose birthday is it? And our webmaster wheels around in his chair before I could even finish asking the question. He's like, no, it's not a birthday. It's Tom. It's Tom Casale. He's going to ESPN. Didn't you hear? And I was like, what are you talking about?
Now, Tom, if you ever did go to ESPN, what would be your dream job there?
What? I don't know. I always say I want to go to ESPN, but I don't even know what I want to do. I'd like be Michael Smith, I guess. That would be...
So you want to be a reporter?
Yeah, like who covers the NFL.
Not like one of those guys that sit at the desk. Like Merrill Hodge.
If I could ever be like Michael Smith, that would be my dream. That's the only way I would leave here, is if I could be like a Michael Smith.
Want to be like Mike.
If I don't get that, I'm just going to stay here.
Okay.
Live out my life.
You wouldn't even have to go to Bristol then, right? You could just travel around, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But he's on, like, because then you get to be on, like, NFL Live and SportsCenter.
Around the Horn.
Yeah, you're all over the place. Yeah. Well, that's never going to happen. So,
and we found out how much you love to travel. So that'll work.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address.
Good point.
Ooh, that was a hot Buffalo.
You are right. They are very hot.
Yeah. Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa, says it was nice to hear from some of the players last week. I know Rodney says he's put up the Titans in the past, but that was off the field. Rodney, I think on the field, Rodney sounded pissed, and I think should be an interesting preseason game. I bet you he won't even play.
He won't
in
even
that
play
game.
In that.
Yeah, don't even.
I'm not sure what Gary has to do with the sound during games, but how look at that douchebag should be added to the list to be played when guys like Merriman do their stupid dances.
I agree.
I don't think we could do that, though, Gary.
I agree, too, though.
I don't think that would fly.
Is there some way we can do something that, you know, not quite so offensive? Because I think that is an
we
idiotic
We should play
dance.
The Macarena when he starts doing his dance or something like that. Anything,
something to mock him.
Any
way to make game day better?
Yeah.
That's what we're asking.
Well, any tidbits for the fans this year, Gary? Anything, any hints?
No.
Okay. Speaking of hints, I really can't give out any, but the voting for the Hall of Fame continues.
In other words, he's going to tell you what he meant 2 minutes from now.
Stay tuned. You're going to find out exactly what's going on in about 5 minutes.
No, until August 1st, you can vote for who you think should be the next nominee into the Patriots Hall of Fame, which, of course, is being built. It's called the Hall at Patriot Place.
Who'd you vote for, Fred?
I voted for Stanley Morgan.
Good choice.
Yeah.
As did I.
But I won't tell you who's leading right now. But you have until August 1st to go and vote.
Dan Klecko.
Right now, I think we've got about 30,000 votes in. So
far, the response has been overwhelmingly positive. But yeah. We'll see what happens once the votes end up getting tabulated and the people that, the players that people expect to get in, whether or not they get in, see if there's any static over that.
I don't think
there's
going to be a problem with that.
I told you within 5 minutes you'd find out what was going on.
Josh Fred says, Gersh. I like to listen to The Drive with Chris Myers on Fox Radio. Last year they had Moss and Rodney on weekly spots. Somehow I don't see that happening with Moss this year. But he did say last year he was really trying to work on his blocking downfield. He also stopped calling in after about week 10 to the surprise of Chris. I would like to reiterate my worries about him. Yesterday... Tuesday, they reported that Antoine Winfield was unhappy there and a possible trade to the Pats was in the works. I don't know the validity of that. Did the Pats leak this out for Asante? What are your thoughts?
It's all speculation. A writer in Minnesota says Winfield's available. He picks the Cowboys and the Patriots because they each have two first-round picks and puts it together in a story. Now everyone's talking about it. As far as we know, we haven't heard any concrete evidence from any writer, journalist, reporter, anywhere that would say that Antoine Winfield is even on the trading block.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but I tend to agree with Tom that it's...
My headphones just went out.
Very there. Much speculation. Fred's all done. Fred, he has no headphones.
Yeah.
Hold on.
It was that buffalo one. It was too hot.
One too many buffalo ones.
If I plug it in halfway, it works. We need to get Doug Lane in here and work on the connections. All right. Well, we get the technical problems.
Okay.
Let's see. DG writes in, Doug from Blackstone. I had my moment in the sun, but was thrown to the curb with Renee's generous offering last week. Renee bought us the lunch last week. Mm-hmm. But Doug has as well.
Right.
Doug bought us lunch. Renee provided a feast.
Yeah.
Not this week.
I'm just glad that you guys are getting fed so well. It's going to look like sumo wrestling this season on the PFW show on Neckin. Someone is going to ask, is that Yokozuna? Hell no, that's Freddie. Or is it Jake Steele? Just teasing. I'm losing weight.
You are?
Have you guys noticed?
Where'd you put it?
You noticed?
To quote Pete Carroll when Mark Farinella said that same line.
Right.
Where?
You'll see. Okay, back to football with Asante Samuel holding
out. We'll see when those road trips start up. He'll show up.
I make no false pretenses. I'm getting fatter by the day.
With Asante Samuel holding out, can we get by with what we have in the secondary, or will it be a waste of tremendous pass rush we should have this season? Well, another thing that I think is a bit of a concern is the depth at linebacker, quality depth, that is. Do you think the players we have can do the job, or is this a time bomb just ticking away? Thanks, Doug. P.S. Andy, I bought a John Deere tractor. When you need your Cub Cadet buried, just let me know and I'll dig the hole.
Oh, my God.
Just joking, Andy. I'm sure there will be crop circles for many years to come.
All right. They won a Super Bowl, I believe, a couple years ago with Randall Gay starting at corner, right?
They can get by without Asante Samuel.
Belichick does as good a job as any of masking weaknesses in the secondary, especially if he has a good pass rush.
Will they be better with him? Sure, they'll be better with him. Can they get by without him? Yes, absolutely.
And I also agree that if there is any kind of a question mark right now on paper, it would come in the back four rather than the front seven on defense. And I think that teams that have the ability to run and throw have given the Patriots problems over the years for the most part.
Thank God there's not a lot of them.
Right, and you know what? That's why the Colts offense has been so good.
Yes.
That's one of the teams that they're good against everybody. So to sit there and say, how are we going to stop the Colts? Well, no one else does either. So it's not necessarily.
I mean, Joseph Addai came in, and people were like, "Oh, they just picked him, you know, because they were forcing a running back on themselves." The guy had a pretty darn good season. Now, part of that could be because Peyton Manning commands so much respect, but they had a good running game.
And I'll give you another example. The guy that Tom and I aren't all that high on, but Anthony Gonzalez probably will have a pretty productive year playing in that offense as, you know, for lack of a better term, the Wes Welker type. He's going to be the guy that's not going to get any attention.
He'll get open and Manning will find him.
The rookie Wes Welker type. That's what I was just going to say.
Let's see. Gary says, is Dante Stallworth related to John Stallworth?
No, because he's an afterthought.
Who played in the 70s?
No, they are not related. Okay. He does, however, have a brother, Dante Stallworth, Larry. And he is playing. He played for the London Monarchs, and he's also
the
Arena League now.
San Jose. They had San Jose had a blistering offense a couple years ago. They had that quarterback that was unstoppable. So I don't know if he was part of that or.
Speaking of relatives,
T.J. Hushmanzoli.
Speaking of relatives, did you ever find out who C.J. Jones is related to?
Yes, Brad Banks, the quarterback from Iowa. That's why they kept saying it, because every time Banks threw a touchdown pass to C.J. Jones, they would say, oh, cousin to cousin, and make a big deal about it. So it wasn't anybody famous like I thought. It was just Brad Banks.
Hey, did you guys hear about, you know, you're talking a little bit about arena football, and you hear about this new UFL they're thinking about coming out with
kind of Mark Cuban?
Yeah, kind of a competitor to the NFL.
Oh, come on.
Wait, so you mean another football league is going to try to compete with the NFL?
Please.
That usually works.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, I mean, this
They'll squash it like a grape.
They're trying to be more of a legitimate rather than XFL.
Doesn't matter. So was the USFL was legitimate.
Well, the USFL's problem was twofold. One,
they didn't have a cap.
Well, the first thing that they did wrong was they strayed from their initial plan of playing in the spring, and they wanted to go and compete directly in the fall. Well, now you're losing your TV because who's going to put you on TV opposite the NFL? Now you're going directly against them. Obviously, the networks at
versus.
The time. Yeah, and you end up being just like the NHL, irrelevant. The second thing was they had that antitrust suit that they filed, and they had obviously a good case. They won the case and were awarded $1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like, you know, the Duke brothers. So they ended up. The whole basis of their existence was riding on this court case, which they won, and they ultimately lost because of a ridiculous settlement.
Now, why was it only $1?
I don't know. I was a little young at the time, but
so the judge was basically saying, in principle, you're right, but as far as a monetary settlement, you're owed nothing.
Yeah, pretty much.
So.
I just think it's too hard with the way the NFL. It's not like the people are going to stop coming to the NFL. They have these pipe dreams that they're going to sign these players.
See,
I think that
the USFL did.
I know they did. They kind of had that time in the USFL. But today, what Paul mentioned, the TV, the money is so big today.
Right.
It's so huge in the NFL. I don't know how you can compete with that.
I just think the talent is watered down enough. And I know with this other league, they're talking about the guys that don't make the NFL. Well, therein, I mean, that's what NFL Europe.
Quarterbacks
right now
who don't make
States,
the NFL are phenomenal.
I just think it's just a matter of time if the league gets going that way before they say, you know what, let's just go after so-and-so and start paying bigger money. And then the talent gets even watered down more.
I think if the USFL had stuck to its original guns and kept it, you know, they also expanded ridiculously right away. I think they originally had 12 teams and played in the spring, and they didn't go after every single guy that went to the NFL. But they picked and choosed, and they got a few. Herschel Walker obviously was a huge one.
Jim Kelly.
You know, Jim Kelly,
yeah.
Doug Flutie,
Flutie,
Reggie White. They had a lot of guys that they got. And
that's because they overpaid them.
Right. But if you have a small amount of teams, you can overpay.
But
if you
who's
going to
watch a league with a small amount of teams?
12 teams?
I watched the USFL all the time.
And I think at the time, when you're looking at it,
I would now,
ESPN
now.
Was such a smaller venture at the time. I think now if you had games on ESPN as well as they had one weekly game on ABC, I think people would be much more interested in that now than they were 20 years ago. And especially if you can, like I said, if you can get a couple of players to forego the college. I mean, to forego the NFL to, you know, right out of college, and you have marquee names. I agree with Tom. If you're just going with second tier talent, then it's not going to work because Tom's right. The biggest thing is second tier quarterbacks can't play.
How come we're always hearing about leagues wanting to compete with the NFL and not with the NBA or Major League Baseball? How come it's always football
you're right.
that people want
you're right.
to try
That's
to compete
That's a good
with?
Point. I don't know why. Do you have any answers to that, Fred? You usually have.
Well, they did have some far-fetched thing for a while.
Yeah, but it was a minor
league.
Yeah,
no. That was almost.
But it
like
wasn't
a
competing
farm
with the NBA. It was like
right.
a farm system.
Yeah.
Because I think football brings the most money, maybe. Where like the NBA is dead, they just haven't recovered the body yet. And baseball basically revolves around the Yankees and the Red Sox. So maybe they think there's more money TV wise with football if you can get somewhat of a decent
just
league
more
going.
More room for growth. I don't know.
And maybe they feel like with the minor leagues in baseball, you know, there really is no minor league football.
Right.
But you have minor league hockey.
College football.
I'd like to compete with
right. You have
league
minor
soccer.
League hockey. You have minor right. league baseball, which are both reasonably successful at their levels, especially baseball. Minor league baseball is a very successful venture in this country for the most part. There's a lot of outposts around the country that have, you know, flourishing, you know, single and double A affiliates. Everywhere.
Well, then if these business people want to try to succeed at building a football league, they should maybe consider starting a minor league football league.
Well, I think
not to compete with the NFL, but to try to help with
to
the
help
NFL.
It
as a
kind of like kind of like
as a feeder
here,
system.
Here's what
I think
I
that's
kind of
what Cuban's probably talking about.
Here's what I always thought, though. I mean, you know, you go and you look at the whole way these kids get exploited in the NCAA. You know, most of them, they really have no intention of getting a degree that's really going to help them. So why don't we just be honest with it and start a minor league that allows kids right out of high school to play in. And once you play a couple years in this minor league, then you're eligible to be drafted in the NFL. You don't have to go to college.
Well, that's
now,
my
the
point.
Now, I know the NCAA would be dead set against that because it's taking talent away from their schools. But let's be honest.
I think it's a nice.
These guys aren't there to,
it's a,
to
it's
go
a
to
nice
geometry
pipe,
class.
But it's a nice pipe dream. Football. But I watch Michigan-Ohio State, Fred. I don't watch minor league football. Part of that.
But you would if the top blue chip recruits out of high school were starting to play.
But they all wouldn't do it because some of them want to go to Michigan. They want to go to Ohio
sure
State. They want to go to Notre Dame. That's part of the allure is going there and playing college football. I think this is a tough thing to do.
I know it's a tough thing.
The other thing with the other sports.
I think it's more fair to the kids because they could get paid.
Well, yeah. But the other thing with the other sports is I think if you have a lesser basketball league like that and one, you just stop playing defense and people kind of get interested in it because guys are dunking. A lesser baseball league, people can still hit the ball a little bit, you know, still run around the bases. You get lesser football, like Paul and I were saying,
right.
with the quarterbacks, and that is bad.
Unless your
bad
kid's
football.
On the team, it's not worth
yes.
watching.
You know,
what I mean?
Come to think of it, I think there really is already a minor league football system. It's called the Arena Football League, and they were a they were kind
I'm not
of a,
buying that.
I mean,
I don't agree.
They were a successful model enough that they've had what 25, 26 indoor, you know, Super Bowls. I can't even think of what the heck they call their championship game. But
that's more of an event, though. People kind of go drink outside at block parties. It's not the sport itself. To me, is as boring as you can get.
It may be, but my point is that some of the best arena players do at least get a shot in the NFL now.
They do, but I think that, you know, the scouts hate it because it is another thing that they have to pay attention to because God forbid you let one of these guys fall through the cracks and it goes to another team. But the game is just so different. You know, you're not going to recruit linemen out of that.
It's an offensive league.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know. I don't think it even resembles a minor league. I think, yes, it's a place for guys possibly to come out who are amazing athletes. But I look at NFL Europa as more of ideally what they would want to be as a minor league.
And that's terrible.
And that's terrible. You know? Let's see. Matt from Newton. The more I have thought about it, the more I've realized that each member of PFW in Progress resembles a character of Family Guy. Andy is clearly Stewie based on his abnormally sized head. And his personal vendetta against a certain person. For Stewie, it is his mother, whereas for Andy, it is anything representing or having to do with Ireland. Fred is Chris because of his constant need to talk, even though what he is saying hardly ever makes sense. Paul is the handicapped neighbor Joe. He is often loud and annoying and threatens to fight people, even though all listeners know he couldn't beat up anybody.
Yeah,
unless it were a video
he's
game, even then he might have trouble. And finally, Tom is a mix of Peter and Quagmire. He is large, fat, stupid, and funny some of the time like Peter. And like Quagmire, he has a constant need to be with underage females. He also has a stupid catchphrase like Quagmire. All in all, the PFW crew represent those characters of Family Guy very well in my mind. It is hard for me to sometimes believe that any of you scored radio jobs when the only one of you who was in the least bit informed had horrible foresight during the draft from Deion Branch all the way through to Brady Quinn. I think he meant Alan Branch, but anyway.
He just proved his own point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, but turn your mic on. Stop reading
he
over
did,
there.
But he's an idiot.
So Matt from Newton doesn't like us. He thinks we have...
Stop listening.
No reason to be on the radio.
Well, if he doesn't like us so much, why is he listening?
First of all, this really isn't the radio, but, you know.
But my point is, there's a radio show in Boston that I don't particularly like. I never listen to it. If he doesn't like the show, why is he listening to it and then comparing us to characters on The Family Guy?
Listening to it so much that he can prepare you.
Are you ripping a show that I happen to be on from time to time?
Well that's the only time I listen to it.
Oh, man. Hey, thanks, Tom.
Well, it's three shows, actually. It's a station with shows.
Yes.
Which show don't you like?
The one Paul's on sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Matt, if you had bought us lunch today, maybe we would have thought that email was funny.
But... Yeah, but even then it would be tough to laugh at that.
Actually, I think someone has sent a Family Guy type email before.
Yeah, and it was much funnier. Much funnier.
So he's a ripoff, too, this guy.
I don't know the Family Guy, so I don't even know who all the characters are.
Matt's a lousy emailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He hates us, but he took the time to write an email and analyze us, comparing us with Family Guy people.
Tom, aren't you the guy that threatens to fight everybody?
He got it wrong, too. I was waiting for someone to pick that up. Yes, he not only did he compare us to Family Guy members, he got us all wrong. Every one of us was wrong.
I think I've stated many times in the past that I haven't been in a fight since the third grade.
You're a pacifist.
Well, Paul's a lover, not a fighter.
Right? I've said that as well. A lot of USFL stuff, though, that Gary got. Fred, and I'm not going to read this whole thing, but a couple of interesting points. Now, I think we all know the basis of the league. 12 teams originally. They played in the spring and summer, and they had national contracts with ABC and ESPN. And the writing here says, although play was often uneven during the inaugural year, most teams showed steady improvement. The league averaged more than 24,000 fans per game, which was very close to what was originally forecast. And both ABC and ESPN were very pleased with the ratings generated by the circuit. And the problem was only two teams that first year, Denver and Tampa Bay, escaped large financial losses. And that was because the salaries were a little bit higher than they expected.
Now, what about the Chicago Blitz? That was my favorite team.
Well, those are the teams. Can you give me the nickname if I give you the team?
I can try.
Yeah.
The Breakers.
All right. Los Angeles.
Express.
New York. Well, New Jersey.
Generals.
Chicago Blitz, you already said. Detroit was Michigan. Was really the name. Michigan.
Oh,
they won the first championship.
Michigan.
Bobby Hebert was the quarterback.
Stars?
Panthers. No. Let's see here. Boston, you already got the Breakers. Tampa.
Bandits.
Oakland.
I don't know Oakland.
They were the Invaders. And these aren't written here, by the way. I'm just a loser. Denver.
Mountains.
Gold. Washington. I don't remember what Washington was. Federals, maybe?
Federals.
Wow. Philadelphia Stars. Birmingham?
Stallions.
Stallions. Yeah. And San Diego eventually moved to Phoenix and was the Arizona Wranglers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, the Wranglers. Wow.
Those were the original 12 teams. But look, in 1984, they immediately went and they added Houston, Memphis, Pittsburgh, San Antonio, Oklahoma, and Jacksonville.
You got to give us the team names, Paul.
Well, that must be when I stopped watching.
They actually give you the team names on all those. The Houston Gamblers, Memphis Showboats, Pittsburgh Maulers, San Antonio Gunslingers, Oklahoma Outlaws, and the Jacksonville Bulls.
And Jim Kelly was the quarterback of the Gamblers.
He was on the Gamblers. I think Glenn Carano, guy that you would remember from the third-string quarterback for the Cowboys.
Oh, yes.
He went and he was... quarterback for Pittsburgh, I remember that.
Memphis Showboats had a guy that ended up in the NFL, didn't he?
Probably.
Now, Gary, is this from Wikipedia?
Now, the end of that comes down to, I'm not going to read all the rest of this about the relocations and whatnot. In July of 1986, about a month before the league was to begin its first fall season, the USFL won its suit against the NFL, but incredibly was awarded just $1, and it says trebled to $3 under antitrust law in damages. More than $160 million in debt, the league folded before beginning its first fall campaign. But it doesn't say why that the settlement was only a dollar.
So there you go. Looking for USFL news, the only place to come is PFW in Progress.
Anything but Patriots.com.
Let's see. Chris is from the Bronx. He says, first off, thanks a lot for continuing the podcast through the offseason. They're a godsend for fans like me who've moved away from New England and want to keep up with the team as much as possible. On that note, never hesitate to get video footage onto the site. We'll watch anything resembling football, even excuse me, basic running drills during preseason. You know, speaking of video on the site, we formatted all our videos from at some point a month ago to Flash. So the views of these videos have gone up exponentially.
Yeah, it's great because you don't. It doesn't have to pop up in a different window or a different application.
You don't need Reel anymore.
It comes right up on the page right there.
Yep. So, and I'll give another hint to people, another little preview, because of our listeners are loyal and they deserve a little bit of insider information every once in a while. When the season starts, you're going to see a whole new design for the front of Patriots.com.
Oh, really? Because that's information to me, too, and I work here.
It's going
to
be pretty cool.
I write for the site every day. I didn't even know that.
He's from in case you didn't know, Eric was a kicker, and he works for Patriots.com.
Great.
A kicker and a punter. Let's just be clear.
Oh, okay. And he
that.
Punted.
Okay.
Gary, you going to Tom's wedding?
I am.
Okay. You got a room?
I wanted to get the suite, but I guess it was taken.
Right.
Someone took it. I wanted to get it, too, actually, but someone else has it.
One question. Where do you see Garrett Mills fitting in
on
the roster?
Where did that come from?
He's got great hands and has shown skill as a special teamer, but I don't think those abilities put him above Sammy Morris, Heath Evans, or Dave Thomas. I'd love to see more of him. I'm not sure how the running back slash tight end slash wide receiver situation can shake out and include him.
Well, let me ask you, when did he show skill as a special teamer? Because he didn't play in a game last year.
Right. He was mostly on injured reserve.
He's basically going to be your Larry Centers type fullback, wouldn't you say, Paul? The guy who catches the ball?
I would think so, yeah.
So if he makes the team, if he sticks, that's what you're looking at.
Unless, and I have just one caveat, and this is totally out of the blue, this is just speculation.
Caveat.
But, yeah, that's C-A-V-E-A-T, Tom, Jesus. For when you get on the blog later. With their perceived, by some people, lack of depth at linebacker, Garrett Mills is a perfect size to play linebacker. If he makes the
You're saying they switch Garrett Mills to
linebacker. I'm just saying it's not out of the realm of possibility that if he makes the team, it would be in that fashion. Given who they
so
have.
So they won't draft any players
Eric
to play linebacker.
Eric is over my role for outlandish comments.
They won't draft any guys to play linebacker because it's too tough to learn, but they're going to take a former tight end, now turn fullback, and move him to linebacker.
No. What I'm saying is if he makes the team and it's not at fullback or tight end, then that would be the only thing I could see him making the team as.
Say if he makes the team, it will be a fullback or he will be cut.
Steve in North Carolina, I know minicamps are not a great indicator of potential, but I wanted to ask a few questions based on what you did see. One, is Wes Welker the next Wayne Krabet?
No, because that means they're both white, and that's the only reason why you're comparing them. I'll say Troy Brown.
Two, does Justice Hairston have that quickness and explosive step that Maroney showed when he first arrived?
No.
No.
I thought Eric, you wrote that he did.
Yes,
he
compared to Justice Hairston, not compared to Lawrence Maroney.
Okay. Three, will Kelly Washington make the final roster?
I don't think so.
Yes.
I'm leaning to no right now.
I'm saying no.
I've been told by several people in the know to completely disregard what happens on the field in minicamp, so I don't know.
Well, if he doesn't, then Gaffney and Caldwell could. Four, who impressed you the most on defense?
The most on defense? Rashad Baker.
I was just going to say that.
Seriously, I think...
I thought you said Adalius Thomas.
Yeah, but that's... Everyone knows about him,
well,
Fred.
Well, if he impressed you the most, say it.
All right, Adalius Thomas. I was trying to bring up somebody that maybe the fans didn't know a lot about, saying Rashad Baker was kind of all over the field, maybe a sleeper at a position that we think is kind of...
Sleeper.
I'll give you someone else. Not necessarily a sleeper or anything like that, but Chad Scott. You know, stepped right in that Samuel spot. I thought he was competitive in coverage, even against guys like Moss and Stallworth. He's a very physical guy. I like Chad Scott probably more than most other
Patriots
fans.
You're not saying there was any contact during minicamp, are you?
I wouldn't say that. Okay. I just said he was competitive.
Hey, Fred, can you give Gary something to do? He's printing out the definition of caveat.
All right.
He's trying to help, Tom.
The guy does nothing.
Let's see. Frederick.
Wouldn't that actually be something?
Frederick is writing in from Denmark. He says, no disrespect, but is Samuel not a little childish? Look up from your blank hole, man. You're going to get good money. You're good, but not $80 million good. If you get franchised, that means you're going to get a lot of money. Rather trade him away and let him play after 10 than let him play after 10 weeks. Let my man Hobbs be the star cornerback, 10 interceptions this year. Book it.
All right, here's one thing I wanted to say earlier. We better watch this my man Hobbs being the star stuff, because you know me, Paul. You know I like Ellis Hobbs. But somewhere along the lines, we went from Patriot fans saying, don't worry about Asante Samuel because Ellis Hobbs will take over. When did this happen? Because maybe I fell asleep for a game.
Right around the time that Asante Samuel expressed discontent with his situation here in New England.
Oh, okay.
And is on the verge of becoming an ex-New England Patriot. That's the way it works. I've been trying to explain this to you guys for a long time now. All they have to do is change uniforms, and they lose a lot of ability.
All right.
Tully Bantikane was a great up-and-coming.
God forbid we be Patriots fans.
Great up-and-coming seventh-round pick, right? He's going to have a great breakout year last year, but he left as a free
agent.
God
forbid we'd like our team.
I love my team, Fred.
Your team isn't the Patriots.
I've been to many, many, many.
Your team is the Perillo.
Many, many,
the
many.
Team from Peabody.
More Tully Patriots Bantikane. Games than you have.
Really?
Many more.
You think so?
Many more.
Why do you
close.
Say that?
Because I was a season ticket holder for
well,
a long
probably
time.
Didn't, Fred, you probably didn't
so
see him. He was sitting down.
I was just enjoying the wins. You know, I wasn't, you know, drunk and screaming my head off on third down.
I told you, I was one of the idiots up there yelling for Flutie.
Right.
Thanks for the
That's
good work.
Shocker.
I was one of the idiots saying, sit down, he can't play.
I
probably.
Was one of the idiots in the stands yelling for Flutie.
Right.
Sit down, I'm trying to watch the game.
Thanks for the good work this offseason. Great show last week. Go Jake Steele. And Tom, you're the only expert on the show. Andy, you should start opposite Hobbs. Then we don't have to listen to you. P.S., who won the golf tournament? I don't think they ever finished.
Nobody cares.
I think guys don't, they only play like five holes.
They don't care.
Torrential downpour.
The only thing they care about is who won the longest drive competition.
Well, Brady won
that,
right?
And that was Brady.
Yeah.
And
307.
And I think, I think Ellis Hobbs is coming along nicely. He'll probably have a good year, but without Samuel, now you're saying he's going to be the star. He's going to be, I don't know if he's ready for all that yet.
Well, you were saying last year you thought he was really good.
Yeah, and I still think he's good.
He opened last year being that guy. Let's remember
and
that.
And he hurt his hand.
In week one. No, I don't mean by his play. I mean that's what he did.
Right.
He opened last year, week one against Buffalo.
And was
Belichick gave him
guy?
The assignment of Lee Evans one-on-one, and he handled that one pretty well. But he didn't have as good a year as Samuel.
And I still think he's good, and he's going to be good. I'm just, let's not turn him into a superstar overnight just because Samuel's leaving.
I think he's a good player, but that doesn't mean anything. So if you replace Samuel with Hobbs, and Hobbs is every bit as good as Samuel, that's fine.
Who do you replace Hobbs
with? Now you don't have anybody as good as Hobbs.
That's right. Unless Chad Scott steps up.
And that's a big if at this stage of his career.
Or Randall Gay.
We actually, going back to that training camp question of who stood out on defense.
Pizza, huh?
Mike Richardson made a few decent plays. As a rookie cornerback drafted out of Notre Dame, he showed up a little bit. He did show up a little bit.
Would you make a mess?
Tom's first piece of pizza ever.
Made a mess.
I don't know how it's my fault, but evidently I did something wrong.
Eric from Manchester, New Hampshire. So we read about Moss not giving 100% in minicamp. Do you guys know if he ever gave 100% in any camp? Did he practice the same way when he was the greatest wide receiver in the game? I bet he did. I'm right with you, Eric. It's just Randy being Randy.
That's probably true. I think that's probably true. He probably never has been a big practice guy. I think Tom made a good point earlier, one of the rare ones, when he said that when you get a little bit
Tom,
older,
you got to use soda water for that.
When you get a little older, that preparation and practice time becomes a little bit more important. When you start to get to your 30s, when you're not doing things off the field to get ready to do the things that you want to do on the field.
If we see him dogging or asking out of games during the season, I'll be right there saying, you guys are right. Rob from Arlington, Virginia. One, true or false, Eugene Wilson is not talented enough to start at cornerback for the Patriots.
True or false?
False.
I have no idea. I don't think they have any intentions of starting him at cornerback.
You've got to use soda water for that. Two, would you rather have Deion Branch or Wes Welker? Please disregard what it costs to get Welker and what we gain for Deion.
Deion Branch is a better receiver than Welker. I don't think there's any question about that.
Well,
I go with Welker.
I think established, you're right, but I think in time we'll
been in the league the same amount of time.
I say Welker because Welker's not looking to fill a number one role like Branch did, and Welker can return kicks, and he can even make a few kicks. So, Welker.
I'm looking at the better player, Branch.
All-around player, better? Welker.
Yep.
I'm taking Welker.
It's not even close.
We'll see.
What are you going to see? Branch is not here anymore.
I know.
You're not
going to
see anything.
It's not like he died. He's still playing in the league.
But that's just a whole different thing.
How much did you hear about Deion Branch last year anyway?
Well, he was hurt a lot.
Branch's absence is unexcused.
He wasn't hurt.
He didn't have any training camp with the team.
No, he didn't.
He missed some games.
because he wasn't ready to play yet.
Right.
At the beginning of the year,
right.
He wasn't hurt.
Well, he didn't. He missed games.
He had a holdup.
Right.
But
I'm defending him, Paul.
But you're saying by defending him, it's one of your backhanded compliments saying, "Oh, you got hurt.
I'm saying
that's why we got rid of him.
No,
he was small and frail."
See, there you go. You're paranoid.
I know what you do.
What I was saying was what my defense.
Tom, am I right on this?
I don't think that it was fair to judge him on last year because I don't think he played a full season.
And I think he had a solid year considering that he stepped into a team in the middle of September.
I still take Welker.
Well, I think that's craziness. I have to be honest with you.
I'll tell you what.
I could be out of the league.
I gotta say,
I can settle this right now. Who would you rather have, Moss, Stallworth, and Branch, or Moss, Stallworth, and Welker? That's a no-brainer. You take Moss, Stallworth, and Branch.
In that combination, I take Welker because he fits in better with those.
Oh, really? Because Stallworth and Moss are the same type of player,
and
you have no problem.
I don't think Branch. I don't think Branch is the possession type guy. You know,
see,
over the middle.
That's
that
funny.
Branch,
all at this time,
ask the Colts who they'd rather
he
have.
He falls down every time he catches
that's funny.
The ball.
Last year at this time, all you ever heard was, he's not the deep threat that everybody says he is. He's really a possession guy out of the slot. Now all of a sudden we have Wes Welker here. So, well, I'm not sure Deion Branch was a possession guy. And he fell down every time he caught the ball.
I think one-on-one right now, who's a better receiver? I think it's Deion Branch. There's no doubt about that. But I'll take Welker.
Welker's a terrible return guy. So adding that to his all-around ability. Well, I mean, he was in Miami. He never did anything as a returner in Miami.
I actually think Branch is going to have a pretty good year in Seattle this year.
Part of being a good returner.
With Hasselbeck, I think Hasselbeck.
You
I
love
know.
Hasselbeck.
I used to.
He's so fickle.
You're off him now?
He's
I'm
so
off him.
Fickle, it's ridiculous.
I'm off him now.
Paul, part of being a good returner is having a good return team in front of you.
Yeah.
You can't just do it all by
and
yourself.
And Eric knows, kicker. Because I don't know if you know this, Paul, but he was a punter and a kicker. Division 1A? Was it 1AA?
1AA.
1AA level.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm saying, he played for Miami. Had a horrible team.
Okay. So I don't think it was a horrible team when they were going 9-7. I don't think they were horrible.
Apparently, well, BU had a lot of runbacks.
The advantage of being thrown balls from Tom Brady. Let's see. Number three. Please rank in order of talent.
He always ends it with something that makes you just scratch your head.
Please rank in order of talent the three players nominated for the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Stanley Morgan,
Ron Burton, and Ben Coates, and Stanley Morgan. I think talent, Stanley Morgan's number
Stanley
one.
Stanley Morgan.
And then Ben Coates
would
Ron
be two,
Burton.
And
yeah.
Ron
easy.
Burton would be three.
Yeah. Finally, four. Will the punt and kickoff coverage teams be better this year than last year?
Were they that bad last year?
Eric?
Coverage.
Yeah, well, I know.
They had problems.
I heard what he said. Were they?
They could have been better.
No, but I know they gave up some big plays. You know, and that sometimes skews the numbers, but I didn't think
they played well at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, they had the really bad game in Tennessee where Pac-Man killed
right.
them.
Right, but before that, I thought we were surprised because they had been playing so well before that.
You know, Pac-Man was on wah-wah-wah-wah-wah.
Yeah.
Starting to catch up to our emails here. These came in at the beginning of the show when Gary was on a soprano kick. Peter from Northampton says, enough already. Will you please tell Gary to stop all of that dreadful, awful nonsense? No more music. No more sound bites. All that stuff is a huge distraction. It's not funny, and it cheapens your show.
Agreed.
Says the man that has me putting together something for his wedding, doing the same thing.
And the guy that's the guy that's playing Tecmo Bowl
during
the show.
Here, baby.
Brad from St. John, New Brunswick says,
"Let me know."
UMass Radio.
Tom is absolutely right. We tune in for football. I don't even
I told
watch
you,
the Sopranos.
Eric, did I tell you?
Yeah, you did.
Did I tell you that shameless suck up?
No.
That's why.
By the way,
have you noticed how many
time
guys,
out.
By the way, have written in today and said,
"I can't help that I have my own fan club."
Have you noticed how many guys write in and say Tom is the most knowledgeable? That's why, you know.
Because
he plays the... He plays,
either that or I'm the most knowledgeable.
He plays the fans.
I'm going to go with the former.
I think that the open that Gary played was pretty much of a display of your
I just don't,
inside
that's
knowledge.
Football, I
guess.
Two draft picks. Why don't you go through the entire draft, Gary? Big mouth.
Look, he's always ready to fight someone, this guy.
Absolutely. It's amazing.
Although now with Eric on the show, I can't talk about special teams anymore. I don't know if you know, he was a kicker and a punter at Division I.
When were you ever able to talk about special teams?
Before you, he was a know-it-all, you don't know?
No.
All you had to do was say things definitively, and the fans eat it up like nothing.
Geez. Eric, that was actually special needs that he knew about.
Oh, hey.
I won't even say it. Go ahead.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Sean has an email titled Sopranos in the Patriots Hall of Fame. says, it's really a dead time since we are talking Sopranos. I'm a big fan of the show and felt the ending was justified. It was too convenient to have Tony arrested or killed. It is left up to us to decide. Plus, I think...
What's his last name? What's this guy's last name? You're not Italian.
So?
Because that's when you're in the mob, you don't just go on everyday life. He's not Tom Casale. He's Tony Soprano. Right. Too convenient. That's part of being in the mob.
Okay, well,
I just stop reading this crap. I'm sick of it.
I think Gandolfino is upset the show ended because I think he hates doing the character and does not want to keep being asked everywhere he goes, is there going to be a movie? Anyway, for those...
He wanted the show to end 2 years ago.
Anyway, for those who are Soprano deprived and need a fix for the great TV show.
Oh, you need a terrible TV show to watch? Paul, you know any bad shows they can watch to substitute for Sopranos?
Tune into FX today for Rescue Me, one of the
best
shows.
There you go, another terrible
show.
Leary. Freaking show was so bad they had to get Belichick on there.
As for Pat's talk, can you guys go into more detail of the Hall of Fame? How did we get to barely anybody every covering the Pats in the golden years of Rod Rust and Dick McPherson to having a panel of 27 writers to decide on the Hall of Fame? Can you also go into detail if there was any talk of the people that maybe just missed the ballot?
Dan Klecko.
Also, since we are into the past Patriots, will we see the retro unis this season?
Fred, you can tell us about that, right? That last question? Turn your mic on, Paul.
I think
what are
we might.
Over there,
I turned my mic off.
You did.
I think we might see the retro
really?
This year.
No, not this year.
Next year for the 50th anniversary.
I hope so. I hope so. I miss those red uniforms.
Yeah, I think we will.
The old logo or the new
logo? Is it next year or is it 09?
Well,
I think... Might be 09.
No, 09 is the actual anniversary. It is.
Yeah, so. I think that's the year that we're going to be going to the throwbacks. Yeah. And...
even the logo? The old...
Not just us. It's a lot of teams are celebrating their 50th anniversary.
They will be wearing the silver jerseys this year.
I hate those jerseys.
Okay, and I believe that will be the last appearance for the silver jersey, from what I've been told.
Is that right?
Good riddance.
Can Flanders tell you that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Maybe,
you know,
can we get Kevin?
Fred, you may not care about your sources and keeping them anonymous, but some other people sometimes when people tell them things, they don't want people to know.
I would just like Ken to pick up the phone once, so that we can talk to him.
You've reached the desk.
But I think the plan is to go to the throwback uniforms, either an 08, it might be 08. And then that will be the alternate jersey from there on in.
Oh, really?
Throwback.
I mean, Ken's the...
breaking news here.
Ken's the retail manager.
Unfortunately, Fred threw my source under the bus.
I'd like to get him on the show to explain
breaking news.
Of the retail endeavors.
The red uniform's coming back, according to Paul Perillo.
I would like to have the red uniform with the new logo. I think that would be sharp.
I wish that they
bored.
Used the red uniform from the bored. 70s instead of the 80s.
I want the old uniforms.
You have the red old uniform, but you like the old logo?
If you're going to use the old uniform, use the old uniform.
No, yeah. The red with the new logo.
I don't know if I'm so
silver and red?
No, red with the Elvis.
Oh, you mean make a new helmet?
Yeah, make a new helmet.
You might use these helmets.
Oh, no, not the silver helmet.
I got you.
So what helmet are you using now?
A white helmet.
He's talking about a white helmet with this Elvis
logo. With the Elvis on the white
helmet.
I can
handle
that. Anything but Pat Patriot, because I hate Pat Patriot, but I love the old uniforms.
Yeah.
Much better than these. I don't like these uniforms. I never have.
I'd say they go back to the old ones, period.
I've never
been an Elvis fan.
I don't love Elvis
either. I
don't
like
that
Pat Patriot.
Pat Patriot looks like
he's Everyone got all emotional about it after he was gone.
He looks like he's taking a dump.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
No one liked it when he was there. I remember being a kid growing up, hearing everyone complaining about the logo.
Right.
Then he left and everyone loved him.
Exactly.
Yeah, there was a game in the late 70s that they actually were toying with the idea of changing the logo. And it was the same color scheme, and they had the two things, and they let the fans decide the game. And it was overweight. It was like 102% to none. When they had the old logo, I mean the new logo that they had, and they were going off a fan reaction or whatever, people were booing the new logo so bad and just chanting, "We want the old one." It was like a wipeout.
That was it, huh?
That was it. That was like.
What did that new one look like?
I don't even remember.
This is kind of like, you know...
I like stories.
This is kind of like when Andy Hart left for a couple of days and you were miserable. You know, because you were complaining that he was making fun of you all the time when he was here. He left for 2 days and you were a mess because he left. That's
right.
Like the same thing with the old logo.
And while I'm
Absence
excited
makes
about
the heart
future,
grow
exactly.
fond.
I did miss Andy Hart because, you know, there was no one there to tell me how fat, bald, and old I was.
That's right. We weren't here at the time, so...
So what do you think about Sean's other comment about the Hall of Fame. He kind of wonders where these 27 people came
well,
from.
Well, this isn't...
I'm wondering myself.
First of all, they're not all writers.
No.
There's only about five or six writers. There are broadcasters. There are former players. There are radio personalities, TV personalities. There's a lot of different, and schmoes like you and I, Fred.
Yep.
So there's a lot of different people from different eras. Some of them, there are, four or five retired writers that
right.
covered the team for a lot of years.
Yep.
So I actually think it's a pretty good cross-section of people who have been interested in the Patriots over the last 45 years.
It's a good mix. James from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. With the addition of all the new receivers, where do you see Troy Brown fitting in? Is there no room for him? And if he happens to get cut, do you think he might retire, or will he sign with another team?
There's room for him at defensive back.
He's not going to stay.
He's not going to be on the team as a defensive.
That's
back.
The only room there is for him.
He will be a wide. He will be a wide receiver, or he'll be nothing. And
I could see him kind of maybe retire, if they say to him.
Yeah.
Because they look pretty good out there right now. I know Troy Brown's a great player and he can still help, but where do you put him in? Five is that's the top I could see is the fifth receiver. Anyone
right.
think differently?
I agree.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but I do think that Belichick would not be so adamant as he has been if he didn't plan on playing him. I think he comes back as an extra receiver, and he's there to return punts when they need
he can do a lot of things.
They need someone sure-handed to return punts. You know, far be it for me to take an opportunity away from the dynamic Wes Welker, but...
Oh, here we go. Why do you have to hate?
But
why do you hate?
I just can't imagine Bill Belichick being so adamant that Troy Brown will have a role on this team if he's not going to have one. And I agree with you, Fred. It's not going to be as a defensive back.
No.
Why are you so adamant about that?
Because
he's not that
you're not going to keep a guy on a roster who's not as good at defensive back as guys you could
he's
have.
He's not a good defensive back. He was good as a wide receiver playing defensive back.
Right. You don't hold up a roster spot.
He got
for that.
Torched every time he got put in the defensive backfield. He got picked on and he got abused more often than not. That's not his fault.
I don't see how there's room for him at wide receiver though.
Well, then that's
the
dilemma.
You think a lot more of Jabbar Gaffney and Rishay Caldwell than I do.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they can play. That's my opinion.
Well, they can play.
Jabbar Gaffney is a borderline NFL player.
They did all right last year.
All right.
I mean,
Troy Brown's better than all right.
I'm not disagreeing, but I wouldn't say they can't play. I think that's a little harsh.
I think that Rishay Caldwell is a little bit better in terms of talent than Gaffney, but I don't think either one of them is worth keeping over a guy like Troy Brown, even though they might have more, they're younger and they have more to offer. Don't forget, both of those guys are in the last year of their contracts. You're probably going to lose them anyway. What's the difference?
Steve in South Dennis, one name I haven't heard, to Bucky Jones. What became of him? Did we carry him on the disabled list for a year and then just release him?
Yep.
Yeah.
To Bucky.
He was released.
Big disappointment last year. I really thought he'd come in.
I thought he'd have a monster special teams year.
Yeah.
But,
didn't he get hurt?
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought he would have a monster special teams year, and he didn't look like he was going to do that before hurt either.
No, he didn't look that great in camp, that's for sure.
No.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like he wanted to be there.
Although I will say, if he was healthy all year,
if
he was healthy all season and he was playing special teams, he'd have been a much better option to have in the defensive backfield in Indy than the guys that were there.
Yeah, that's true, because he can play the run and the pass. Let's see. Ken writes in. He's from Canton. Just a couple thoughts on the first hour of the show. One, I don't think that there is a team out there who would be willing to pay Samuel and Clement a Samuel and Clement type contract and give the Pats what they need in compensation.
I agree.
However, trading him for a player like Antoine Winfield does make sense. Excuse me.
You all right over there, Fred? Buffalo wings too
Buffalo,
hot for you?
Yeah.
I do not agree with the rumor of trading him for a number one pick. That's too much for a guy who's entering his 30s. What I propose is the trading of disgruntled cornerbacks.
Wait a minute. I don't understand that. Who's entering their 30s?
Winfield.
Winfield is entering his 30s?
Hey, can I say something real quick? Nobody likes Winfield more than I do. I love the way he plays. I've liked him since he was at Ohio State. But he's not the cover guy people kind of remember back in Buffalo.
He's not as good. He hasn't been as good in Minnesota. I haven't seen him play much.
He hasn't had a good couple of years.
Yeah, but remember the coach over there.
Yeah, he was an idiot. I'll give you that. But I think he may fit into this system a little bit because he's good against the run, comes up, he'll stick anybody, and he plays back well. But as far as man-to-man, as far as I know, he's always had kind of trouble with that. Now that he's getting older, To me, that's not a very good trade for the Patriots, trading a guy in his prime for a guy who might be on the downside of his career. If you could get Winfield, I say okay, but to trade Samuel for him, I don't know.
What I propose is the trading of disgruntled cornerbacks. The Vikes get Samuel, the Pats get Winfield, and the Vikes second rounder. The Vikes give up the choice because of the age difference, and Samuel might be an upgrade. The Pats get a very good all-around quarterback who should be willing to give them 2 years of productive play. In the meantime, with six first-day choices, the Pats can get a top-flight cornerback prospect to eventually be the number one cornerback in a couple of years. Winfield's salary is slightly below what the Pats already offered Samuel, so he'd fit the budget. While he might not be the big playmaker Samuel is, Winfield is a proven all-around solid cornerback who would give the Pats what they need for this season. Two, I couldn't believe that Tom hit the nail on the head with the Felger story. He's a man with an agenda. Tom thinks it's about his radio show, which is probably correct. I think he is still stinging that his story about Moss going to the Packers turned out to be so much BS.
I find
it very ironic that his byline at the Herald includes the appellation Patriots Insider. Is there another reporter out there with fewer inside connections in the Pats locker room or F.O. than Mike Felger?
I disagree strongly with that.
I think I have as many, which is none. You disagree?
You think Mike Felger doesn't talk to anybody in the Patriots locker room?
I think he does.
Oh, all right.
That's what the emailer is saying.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I disagree with that notion that he's doesn't have inside sources. I think he has a lot of them.
And for the record, Tom, that's Appalachian, Appellation.
Not like the mountains.
And, right,
and,
exactly.
How many kicks did Gostkowski miss? Because I know you were about a mile away on the side telling us he was nailing kicks and missed. Oh, he missed those two.
You guys don't want to listen. You don't want to learn how to read field goals from that angle. That's fine. That's your problem, not mine.
Three, any comment about Branch being
late? Let the record show an hour and 45 minutes.
Any comment about Branch being late to Seahawk minicamp and coming in 10% fat instead of the usual 6%? Was it his recent marriage or just the big contract?
I don't know. I just read something that he beat Marcus Trufant on a deep ball from Seneca Wallace.
Yeah, he came to camp late.
Who publishes the fact that the guy's 4% more body fat than he was the year before?
People who have
nothing better
to do. Can you
imagine that
getting
released on this team, that information?
Oh, come on.
It's just minicamp.
That's what Deion said. That's
just
why.
But wait a minute. He came in from 6 to 10, and I don't know if you know the difference, Fred, because you look at you, but that's not that big of a difference. But Randy Moss is just kind of...
It's just minicamp,
yeah, it's
Tom.
Just minicamp. But we have to worry about someone's up to 10% body fat?
And I just want to restate for the record my feelings on Randy Moss. I think the trade was great.
Yes, like I said, we're more bashing on the people right. who are just saying, oh,
the analysis of this whole thing is what I have a problem with, not necessarily the move.
Yeah, now,
they gave up nothing to get him. I think it's a great move.
Paul, but if they give you good analysis of why they don't think Moss is dogging it, that's one thing. But to sit there and just keep saying all day, yeah, it's minicamp. Ah, it's minicamp. That's not really...
Right. And if he plays the way he played in minicamp all year, then I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Matt from Dover, when we drafted Garrett Mills, I didn't know anything about him. When I looked up his information, there was some very interesting stuff. His head coach was extremely impressed with his intelligence and how he memorized the playbook for five different positions. Just something to think about. One of those positions, by the way, was linebacker. So maybe Eric's onto something.
Just throwing that out there.
If Garrett Mills ever lines up at linebacker, what can I do for you? I mean, what do you want? You
want
money
from you?
Was
I smoking crack during the portion of the show where we talked about Garrett Mills playing linebacker?
No, you were busy reading about the USFL. Your mic was off and you were eating.
He is guaranteed.
Well, I wasn't eating.
That if Mills makes the team, it'll be as a linebacker.
I didn't guarantee.
He's got Troy Brown at defensive back. He's got Garrett Mills at linebacker.
You got one heck of a defense.
We're gonna have the worst defense in the history of football.
Hey, Josh from Arlington, Virginia writes and he says he heard a lot about Branch last year. All the balls he dropped.
Yeah. He did drop some passes.
There you go.
That's what happens when you go to Seattle.
That's right.
People can't catch.
Well, it's the wet. It's always raining.
That is true. Nobody can catch up there.
It's hard to hold on to the ball. It's always raining.
You know, I never actually thought about that, but I wonder if that has something to do with it. Because their receivers
I never thought about that.
Every
either.
Year they have the reputation of having the most drops. I wonder if it's weather-related.
I don't know.
I doubt it.
And, hey, Tony Romo drops a snap
but you would actually,
in Seattle.
But wouldn't you think?
Interesting, Fred.
Yeah, he's
slippery ball.
Maybe they
he's
threw
just
up the balls there.
But wouldn't you think the
maybe
Seahawks?
Maybe he is, but I'm just saying it did happen in Seattle.
But wouldn't you think the Seahawks receivers would be better at catching the ball in the elements because
that's what you would think.
More practice doing it? But that's something.
Maybe they just stink.
I don't know why I never thought of that, but
that's why you're not an expert.
Another Patriots fan, by the way, trashing Deion Branch.
Well,
trashing the non-Patriots.
Objective analysis.
Right.
Let's see, Mr. Steele writes it.
Randy Moss didn't drop any last year.
If we're being objective, I remember a couple ex-Patriots won the Super Bowl. Vinatieri, remember him?
Yeah.
Remember they didn't need him?
Dan Klecko didn't drop the ball.
Right.
A huge part. That was the play of the game right there.
Anything but Patriots.com.
What happened to Dan Klecko, Temple University?
Mr. Steele says, come on, guys, can't you give my CFL some respect as a feeder league? Let me point to some great NFL quarterbacks that started in the CFL.
Go ahead.
Joe Theismann and Warren Moon.
Doug Flutie, Joe Theismann, Jeff Garcia.
First of all, Doug Flutie was not and never has been or ever will be great. Second of all, he didn't get a start in the CFL.
So you named
start in the US.
You named three quarterbacks. Two of them played about 70 years ago.
Joe Theismann and Warren Moon
came out of college about 25, 30 years ago.
Good quarterbacks who came out of the CFL.
And Garcia, I'll give him that.
I'll give you Garcia too.
So there you got three. The league's been around for 100 years. You name me three.
Why don't they just do football NFL rules? Why do they widen the field and all that stuff?
That's because players like Jeff Garcia, Canada, who can't play in the NFL, can go up there and have a career. Michael Bishop.
But what does the field have to do with anything? Bishop is
AJ Smith and John Butler. Brought
I mean,
there
I think they can run around.
Bishop
more.
Did nothing up there. He was a backup.
Guys like Flutie can run around and do their little,
their little jump passes. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to defend the field. It's the same amount.
Is Flutie still talking?
I'll give it 2 years.
He's still doing it.
Well, here it is 8 years later. Actually,
unfortunately, he's still talking
later,
on ABC's
and
college football
retired.
Coverage.
Here, he just bought a house for $2.1 million down in Florida.
Yeah, right next to my drop
in the
right
bucket.
Next to my house.
That's the neighborhood you live in, right?
No, it's certainly not a $2.1 million house if it's next to my parents.
No,
my parents' house is nice, but it ain't that nice.
On the water?
No.
No.
Pool.
Pool. Pool's good for you.
Pond be good for Fred.
Pond would be better for you.
Let's see, Logan from Boxborough. Speaking of that, Gary, June 22nd. June 22nd.
Yeah, now it down.
Now he's announcing Freddie Palooza on the air.
Barbecue at my house.
You coming?
I actually have a wedding that day.
Oh, it's going to be a catered affair.
It's a catered affair.
Well, if you had asked me when you asked everybody else, I might have said no to the wedding.
Why? Whose wedding?
Whose wedding? He's getting married.
A friend of mine.
So you would have said no?
Yeah.
Well, then say no now.
He's a good friend, huh?
Don't go
to a girl's wedding who's a friend of yours.
Yeah,
I got to side with Gary
to
on this one. What are you asking him a week before your party? Why didn't you send him an email?
Well, he's invited every year. He never comes.
I have that PFW distribution list, and then I think of
people. I've never been invited.
That's a lie.
Liar.
That's
via
a
email?
Lie.
It doesn't matter whether it's email or voice. Voice is more impactful.
Yeah, a month ago, not a week.
Yeah, you know how we got the invite? How does June 22nd sound for the barbecue? That was the invite.
Not everyone gets invited,
get.
Gary. Well, because you're not on the PFW distribution list.
Oh boy.
Yeah, well, Tom got an invite to his wedding.
Stacey James didn't get it either, but he's coming with his whole family.
I thought Eric was sensitive.
He is.
Yeah.
I'm less excited about this now.
Well, you don't want to see the James gang?
Are you bringing the whole James gang? And I'm not talking about his family?
No. Okay.
So you didn't say anything to Jared and
no, I did. I invited them all, but they all have other things.
Fred, I won't be there.
Perfect for Fred, huh?
You know I won't be there.
You're going to be
in
Italy.
He's going to be in Italy. Right. I don't know whereabouts in Italy, but he's going to be in Italy.
Rome at the time.
Why?
I'm sure it'll wind up on his byline when he comes back.
What do those jerks have to do? Why are they not coming? Why are they blowing us off?
I think Casey's on vacation. Jared has something. I don't know.
Jared will be working.
The most important thing is they're not going to be at Fred's house.
They're busy figuring out ways not to give us.
Brian Morey will be there. Mike Reese will be there. No, I'm only kidding.
Should we invite Mike Reese?
I don't mind.
I don't
Mike
care.
Reese.
You want to invite him?
Come on, Brian Morey.
I have a limit though with the caterer.
What's the
limit? Have a limit with me being there about people. 10 minutes.
60 people for that's a big
yeah,
hall.
We're not close to that yet.
I'll only be there for 20 minutes.
It's a catered affair. I had 40. I had 48 on Sunday. I'm going to tell you something. 60 is a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
You got 60 people there. I'd say I don't like 45 of them.
Well, that's not the big.
First of all, if anybody
comes in,
you
gonna go in the pool this year?
No.
No? Why not?
I don't want to.
Why not?
Because I'm not gonna.
That is not an answer.
Yeah, it is. I'm not going in.
I'd rather not, but the chances of me getting by without having to take Will in.
You got
to
go in with
pretty,
you know.
Pretty slim.
Not
me. Just the chances.
How old is Stacey's kids?
Yeah, we got that.
Now.
I don't know, probably like maybe 6 and 4, along that.
Going to be any other kids at that age? No,
don't know.
I don't know.
Why I'm
why, really are you trying to set them
I got,
up?
I got I two. Know. I got 2 and yeah, 3 months.
I know. There's going to be a lot of infants there. I know that.
And I don't like infants.
Oh, you'll like them.
First of all, you don't like anyone, anything. All you like is football and your couch.
Look, I'll tell you what. The girl across the street's going into high school next year. I'll invite her for you.
All right.
All right?
Now you got something.
Let's see. Logan from Boxborough. I was intrigued when I read the bio of Oskaluwa.
Wait, time out for 1 second. You said Logan from Boxborough, then you looked up and said, hey, Gary, you
I was just thinking the same thing.
What connected Logan and Boxborough to Gary, are you coming to my party?
I don't know. I had to go back in time, and I forget.
That's so funny.
I was intrigued when I read the bio of Oskaluwa that you guys posted on the site. He sounds like one of those guys who would either end up being fairly good or total crap. Do you have any opinions on him yet, and do you see any chance for him to become a starting linebacker within the next few years?
I like him. I think he's going to make the final roster.
Thanks for summing up every guy getting drafted.
Why?
He's either going to be really good or crap.
He's smart. He's instinctive. I think they got another steal late in the draft. I like Oskaluwa. Makes the team.
Okay. This year.
This year.
Not on the practice squad.
No, makes the team. It's going to be the Pierre Woods of this year where he makes the team. I think the team really likes Pierre Woods. I think Oskaluwa is going to fall in there. They seem to kind of like him at practice. A lot of guys around talking with him. Just seems like he fits in here.
Okay.
I tend to agree with Tom. What we saw at minicamp kind of gives you that indication at this point.
But he thinks he's going to play quarterback. That's the difference.
Right. He thinks he has potential.
One caveat is that he's going to play quarterback.
Spell it, Tom. And don't look at the paper. Don't look at the...
C-A-V-E-A-T.
You're cheating. Cheater.
What, Gary?
Now you're glad I printed that, aren't you, Tom?
No, really. Are you going to come to the party?
No.
What time's the wedding?
4.
Oh, you could come for early.
He gets married at 4 o'clock on a Friday.
The food service is from 1 to 3. Where's the wedding?
New Hampshire.
We all don't have the money that you have, Eric.
What are you talking about?
We didn't grow up with a silver spoon in our mouths and went to BU and punted and kicked our way to stardom.
How does that constitute a silver spoon?
Unfortunately, I went to BU, Tom.
Yeah. What, are you saying Paul's got a silver spoon, too? He played baseball there.
No, he's got a fork.
Some of us have to cut back on the bill.
All right. Let's see. Jake writes in, I was wondering if you noticed any difference in the blocking scheme in New England. Also, I was just wondering about David Thomas and his role with the offense. With so many new additions to the offense, what do you think his role will be? I think there's going to be a problem this year with so many targets.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
Colts have been having that problem for a while. We
didn't see David Thomas at all. He's recovering from a broken foot. So
he did, though, talk at my son's DARE graduation ceremony.
Excellent.
Showed up on crutches.
What did he say? Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. Ooh. So it's funny because the congressman, the state rep from Rentham, you know, in that area.
Is that Ayla Brown's father?
No. That's
He's a senator.
He's a senator. He's a state senator. But anyway, his name is Richard Ross. You know, lived in Rentham all his life. And there's a family that lived in Rentham called the Thomases, and they had a bunch of kids growing up. So Richard Ross walks in and sees David Thomas and goes, hey, how you doing? Man, you've grown. And David Thomas looks at him like, who the hell are you? He thought he was one of the Thomas kids. So that was funny.
Typical politician is what you're telling me.
Really.
Yeah. Doesn't really know who anyone is. And
he also owns the funeral home in town.
Oh, and
so he knows where all the dead bodies are buried.
Yeah.
Tom, would you think that David Thomas would emerge as, you know, if they're going to do a lot of pass catching, you know, with a lot of throwing to the tight ends, you think he would emerge as the guy, you know, with Watson as opposed to Brady? Or based on what we saw in minicamp, do you think a lot of two tight end sets with Brady and Watson?
Well, originally I thought it was going to be Thomas, but with this injury, I'm a little worried. And with all these weapons, I think maybe it's another year before we really see.
I don't think any of these guys are going to need catches because it's going to be first down, bomb to Moss, touchdown. That's going to be it. There's not going to be a lot of opportunities.
Oh, boy.
Good. I don't even have to come to work this year. It's going to be that easy. I think year three will be Dave Thomas's breakout
year. I think you might be right. I think that the injury is going to hurt him a little bit. But he's clearly a guy that's suited to the passing game. He has great hands, gets open, moves well, showed, I thought, more athleticism last year than I think we were led to believe he possessed coming out of college.
Well, that catch in Jacksonville.
Terrific.
Beautiful.
Terrific.
And, Paul, you know this from interviewing Kyle Brady, how big.
Largest man I've ever interviewed.
He's huge, but he has good hands, as we saw in minicamp.
He and Brady were hooking up a lot on passes.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. I want to welcome Eric Scalavino.
And for those of you that don't know, he punted and kicked at the Division I AA
first,
level.
Session of PFW in Progress. There'll be more to come. We'll see you next Wednesday.